You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. One of the things we like to provide for our audiences, one of the services, is that if you have problems, we bring in experts that have answers.
Mission Impossible 3 is coming out in about a month. That means Tom Cruise is on the road promoting the movie, doing more interviews where he continues to be crazy. And one of them right here on this show. Let's say good morning to Mr. Cruise. Hey, Tom.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Well, Tom, we're fine. We got a couple things we wanted to ask you about. Before we get to the baby, though, what about this news story in Parade magazine where you talked about recently for the first time that you were beaten and bullied as a child by your dad?
Yes. I am outraged.
That you said that?
That you read Parade. That magazine blows.
Well, you did the interview, though, and you talked about how what a rough childhood you had until your mom gathered up you and the other kids, and you guys moved away when you were 12, I guess.
Yes. He was a coward of a man. He was a bully.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he would suck you in and make you feel comfortable, and then bam! Give you a Scientology pamphlet. I mean, man, he'd hit you.
Hit you, right. Hit you, same thing.
So when something like that happens to you, I mean, is this something that runs through your mind now as you're about to be a father again?
Well, this is my first time being a biological father.
Right.
And so I think it'll be different this time.
Has that been proven, by the way?
As far as you know.
Okay. Now, you were in Germany, and you were plugging the film on a TV show there.
Germans!
Yeah. And you were talking about your priorities, and you were telling them that you have your priorities right. And then you said, quote, first the baby,
right,
then the film,
yes,
then in the summer we want to get married.
Right.
So it's number one, the baby, number two, Mission Impossible 3, and then number three, Katie Holmes.
Kevin,
go ahead, Tom.
I would hold the baby in if I could. I would try to do movie, baby, wedding.
I see.
But they say you can't put a cork in it.
Right. Right. Yeah. That is true. You have not had any experience
with
that.
I went to Home Depot. I bought some spackle.
Right.
I thought I'd just seal it up
right
until I was ready. But apparently when the kid has to come out, it has to come out.
I also said you're in Germany and you have a plane waiting just in case you get the call. But isn't Germany, like, I don't know, 15 hours away or something?
Yes. Any luck, I'll be there after the baby's been cleaned and wrapped in a blanket.
Yeah.
Because that's just disgusting. It's bad enough where it comes out of. But from everything I've heard, they just look like drowned rats.
Tom.
It's bad enough you had to go to the icky place once. You certainly don't want to have to go back there again to get the baby, right?
No, and I don't want to see some creature coming out of there. It's just, it's so much easier when you come down in a spaceship and the Thetans are tied to the volcano, and then you're free of your Thetan things.
Right, that is easier.
That's how it works. Huh?
That's
now,
true.
Tom, let me ask you this question, because from time to time we invite the listeners to call in and talk to you, the great actor Tom Cruise. Would you be willing to, since you've been doing the research, would you be willing to talk to some of the listeners today about raising kids? Maybe they have some...
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
I've done the research.
Yes.
I know about fatherhood.
Okay. I know you do.
Did you know some people are using fatherhood as a street drug?
That's not true, Tom.
I don't know how that's even possible.
I don't know how you do that. You have to chop the father up and snort him. Do not tell your wife to hold the baby.
Do not say that.
No, that doesn't work.
Okay.
Because they can't. Because women are weak.
They're weak?
Women?
Yes.
No,
I said, Katie, hold the baby until after the movie comes out. She goes, no, I can't.
Well,
weak.
Well, Tom, I don't think that's something...
I hate women. Women suck.
Tom, I don't think that's something a woman has any control over.
Men are strong. Men are handsome.
Okay.
Feel like you're stuck in the gridlock of life's highway? Well, you don't have to be anymore. Spend a few moments with Tom Cruise, and the next thing you know, you'll be cruising through life.
Hey, cruising through life, I just got that.
Right. Tom, how much time are you able to spend with your kids with Nicole Kidman? You had a couple of adopted kids there that have got to be, 10, 11 years old. Do you see them ever?
I see one and two all the time.
That's
one and two?
What do you call them?
What are their names, Tom?
I don't know.
What?
They're Dad Horry's children. I don't know.
Oh, Tom.
Spanky and Leroy.
All right, maybe it is. All right, let's go to the phones here. Cruising through life. We're going to begin with, where do you want to go first?
Let's go with Surge and Downey. Good morning, Surge.
Good morning. How's it going, fellas?
Very good, thanks. Say hi to Tom.
What's up, Tom?
Surge. That's hard to say.
What's your question for Tom Cruise today, Surge?
Okay, why is it okay for Hispanics to spank their kids and not white folks?
Because Hispanics have it coming.
Oh, Tom.
Hey, all right. I got a nice advice for you, Tom. Okay. Why can you put the puppet in the bucket and not put the dog in the pail?
Right. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely.
Did he say puppet?
Yes, he did.
I think he did. All right, let's go to Kaylee. Kaylee is in Laverne, Tom. I don't know if this is something you've done the research on or not, but it's a very commonly asked question by new parents. Kaylee, hi, you're on with Tom Cruise.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Kaylee, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay.
Now, I see here that you're 7 months pregnant.
Yes.
Okay, so what's your question for Tom?
Okay, when I was a baby, I always had a problem with gagging at my own poop. So how do you change a baby's diaper without gagging at their poop?
It's very simple. First of all, Kaylee, are you 12?
you do sound a little young, Kaylee.
No.
You should wait till you get out of grade school before you have a baby.
She's already pregnant, though, Tom. So how should she do the baby changing thing?
All right, there's a trick to this. Mm-hmm. You lay the baby down on the changing table.
Right.
You get out a clean diaper. Mm-hmm. I use the cloth because we're very ecologically sound
sure.
in our house.
Okay.
Then you call your Mexican maid in.
Right.
You hand her the diaper. And you say, Lupita, get to it.
What if Kaylee doesn't have that option?
Oh, she's screwed.
She's screwed. Okay. All right.
Don't touch me. I will have a maid. I promise.
There you go. Thank you, Kaylee.
Fantastic.
MI3.
I'm sorry?
What? MI3.
Oh, MI3.
Okay. Oh, but Mission Impossible. Yeah, let's go to Sean in Huntington Beach. This is a great question, Tom, that you apparently didn't have any trouble with. Maybe you can impart some advice to Sean. Hi, go ahead. You're on with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, my wife and I have been married about a year now, and we're ready to have our first kid, and I wonder if you had any tips on us getting her pregnant.
You got married before you got your wife pregnant? That's crazy. Yes, here's how you get your wife pregnant.
All right.
You lay her down on the changing table. You get yourself a clean diaper.
Right.
And you call in Manuel, the gardener.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Curtis. We're doing Cruising Through Life. Those of you that are just listening, Curtis in Simi Valley. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to ask Tom what you do with a colicky baby and whether he recommends demand feeding or scheduled feeding.
Curtis.
Wow.
First of all, a colicky baby. What the hell does that mean?
Baby that won't sleep through the night.
Baby doesn't want to sleep.
Have done the research, haven't you?
Yes. First of all, you get a lot of vitamins, and you put the baby on a strict exercise program. I like to tie a baby to a treadmill and turn it up high.
More
aerobic, not anaerobic.
That's a terrible idea.
No, you tie the baby to the treadmill, you turn it up high, and watch it just crawl its ass off.
Okay.
And then when it's exhausted, then you put a bunch of vitamin pills in its mouth and lay it down on its back.
That sounds like good advice.
I guarantee you that baby will be out.
Thank you for the call, Curtis. Tom, I wanted to ask, I know you love the vitamins, but how do you handle, with the Scientologists, they're kind of hinky about medicine, how do you handle things like inoculations and things like that for babies? There's a lot of people who believe that, you know, kids get over-inoculated, get too many shots. What's your policy on that?
They do. If you have enough vitamins, enough exercise, you will never get any kind of sickness ever.
Is that right? No flu, no cold, nothing?
No flu, no cold, no flu.
Right.
No cold,
right?
Nothing.
Right.
You will be healthy, and it's largely in your mind.
I see. Okay. Dave in La Crescenta, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Lisa May.
Hi, Dave.
Say hi to Tom.
Hey, Tom. Dave. Tom, now you were wondering about ways to keep the baby in. I got a question in regards to that.
Yes.
Right now, my wife is being told that she's probably going to need a cerclage. I want to ask you about the benefits of the cerclage and at what week they should put a cerclage in. I'm assuming you know.
The cerclage is my favorite designer. They make a great handbag, and Katie loves her cerclage. She carries it everywhere she goes. But I don't know what that has to do with babies.
but we appreciate the call, Dave. Let's do one more. Tom Cruise is on the line. We'll go to Tom in Burbank. Now, this is a delicate question, Tom, but you seem to have all the answers. You've done the research.
I have done the research.
Yes.
And you should, too. You should stop being so glib, Bean.
Well, I'm not trying to be glib at all. I'm trying to just introduce you to the caller. Say hello to Tom.
So glib.
Tom, hi.
Hello, Tom.
Tom.
What's your question, Tom? What's your question, Tom?
I have been doing the research for 9 years, Tom. I need to know how to ring Mama's doorbell.
I'm sorry?
I need to ring Mama's doorbell. I want her to give it up the back end.
Oh, you're trying to break the exit only rule is your question for Tom. How do you do that?
That's the question.
I see. Okay.
I figured he might know.
Don't do that unless you want chocolate babies.
What? Talking about?
Tom, I don't think you understand how it works at all.
Don't be so glib. You need to do the research. I've done the research.
You need to do a little more research.
No, it's milk, milk, lemonade, round the corner fudges made.
This book is a book that needs to be distributed to every person who works in every business in America, I think. It is called Working With You Is Killing Me. And no one can read this book and not recognize somebody who's described in it. We're very happy to have the co-author of the book. We've got Kathy Elster. She wrote the book with Catherine Crowley. Again, Working With You Is Killing Me is the name of it. Kathy, welcome to K-Rock.
Good morning.
Am I right? Is this a book that applies to pretty much anyone who's ever had a job?
Oh, I think it does. I mean, it's hard. You know, it's unbelievable that you can write a book that would reach everyone, but I think we did it.
Well, what's the genesis of the idea? What made you guys decide this is a book that you had to do?
Well, I was a management consultant going into companies and helping their businesses grow after I had had a successful company. And I just kept running into issues that were out of my scope of reality. I didn't understand why people were not getting along or why people were not reaching their goals. And then I was introduced to Catherine, and she had just gotten her degree in Harvard. And she started to explain to me that people have their own obstacles to success. And then we just started working together, and we've been together about 20 years now, and we do industrial psychology. We go in and we help companies change their cultures, and we mediate relationships. It's fascinating to me. I mean,
do you have about a full year available to come into K-Rock?
Yeah.
Come on.
Full time?
All right, I'm on my way.
All right, good.
Let me ask you about a couple of the types that you write about in the book, and I'm sure people will recognize these, and then maybe we'll talk about how you ought to handle them if you're working with them. For instance, I won't mention any names. Everybody in the room knows who I'm talking about. We used to have a coworker who was the very definition of a drama queen.
Ah.
How do you describe the drama queen in your book?
Well, you know, we talk about it in several different places. I mean, they're really the unpleasable people. They're the needy. They're the people that just soak up your time. You know, they're very important. They're the center of everything. They tell too much information. They get too upset. You know, they just flow with too much emotion. We consider that in the boundary section, where we talk about people that, you know, just get in your face too much, and you actually have to confront those people.
Really?
There's no way about it.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Well, you have to cool down before you confront them.
Oh, okay.
You're talking about the type of people who every time you talk to them, everything is a crisis, everything is the end of the world, everything is the most important
thing.
And
it's about them.
And it's always about them, and they're always the ones who are being persecuted or whatever it is.
Right.
So when you go to confront a drama queen, how do you handle that? How do you bring something like that up when you know that they're going to become emotional almost instantly?
Right. Well, you're absolutely right, and you have to understand that they're going to be that way. Don't expect them to react differently. But you have to get very clear on what is, you know, you have to communicate it very clearly. But there's two ways of communicating. We talk about the high road and the low road. You know, the low road is saying, I can't stand you. But the high road would be, you know, taking it a little better and actually thinking it through, calming down, and finding the words to say to this person that's going to move the conversation further.
Excuse me, but I have to tell you that when it comes to standing you, I can't.
But you know, one of the problems with confronting someone at work is that you then have to see them day after day, and often people hold a grudge. I had an instance, and I get along with pretty much everyone, where this girl absolutely stopped talking to me and would walk away if I came near and shot me dirty looks for months. It was miserable.
Right. Well, but you allowed it to be miserable. I mean, there's a way to change your own reaction to it. At least she wasn't bothering you. You know, I mean, and that's the same kind of, you know, whether she's snubbing you or she's talking too much, she's just irritating you. But you have to learn to change your reaction to it. If you don't get offended by it, she probably will stop.
Interesting.
You know, you have to detach from taking it personal. Personally.
We have Kathy Elster on the line. She is the co-author of a book in stores now called Working With You Is Killing Me. What's the type of the 10 obnoxious coworkers that you write about in the book, the type that most people complain to you about that they have in their work environment?
Well, we hear a lot about the exploders, you know, the people that just scream. There's a lot of screamers out there. Yeah, and also we hear about the avoider boss. You know, the boss that you go to, you want to raise, but the boss is afraid of any kind of confrontation and just doesn't have your back and won't support you. We hear a lot of...
What's that? I just had a coughing spell?
What's going on here?
Just a little something in my throat.
Okay, we can talk about an avoider there.
Yes.
We're like every other office in America, Kathy. We have every single person that you describe in your book, we have
somewhere in the avoider is one of the most difficult to deal with.
I'm sorry, what about the coworker who just reads to you out of the paper really non-interesting things all day? Is that one of the ones you have?
Those kind of people don't exist,
absolutely.
Kevin.
Absolutely. We talk about the person who invades your space. Yeah, they're very, you know, they're needy. They don't even want you to respond. They just want you
to
listen.
They just want to talk. That's true.
Why do I feel like I'm being talked about when I'm here in the room? Luca, he is in Anaheim. Tell us about your problem.
Hey, Pope is out. Party people, what's going on?
Pope is out.
Pope is out.
Okay, I think we all had a chance to work with the guy who smells like ass and mayonnaise.
Oh, I did.
I'm sorry, like ass and mayonnaise?
Yeah, ass and mayonnaise. Disgustingly, I mean, this guy who leans up against the wall and leaves a stain.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, disgustingly. I mean,
You're on my list.
I had a guy, we used to work in these like little booths and they were connected by doors. And this guy would walk through to his, which was the last one, and leave his scent in all the other rooms. What was his name? And here's the thing, I'm never going to tell you. And I finally said something to him. I said, look, I don't know, you're separated, maybe you're not washing your clothes enough. I don't know, he was working another job overnight. But it didn't change it at all.
Luca, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
I am LA's news, and I hope I deliver the goods, but I got to admit that I don't care anymore. It's because I have the seniority.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go to Rafe. Rafe is calling us from Hollywood. Hi, you're on K-Rock.
Yeah, hi, guys. How you doing? I just think everyone's probably worked with those people, too, where there's, like, the guys who are above you. They're sort of like your bosses, you know, but you know that you're much more credible and much more qualified to do their job than they are, and you're more talented than they are, but they're the guys. They got their name on the show, you know. And so
I'm sorry, on the show?
Well, or job or business or office or whatever.
I totally know what you're talking about.
And you're the guy like, slaving away there, keeping the thing rolling.
And they just take the credit.
They get all the credit, and they, you know, they're the big cheeses, and it's just frustrating, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard.
And what can you do?
Like, one guy is like a doofus, and the other one's like a freak who lives on an island.
No, I'm not familiar with that. Is this Ralph?
No, my name is Rafe.
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 Oh, Rafe. Okay, because you sounded like a guy that we knew. Thank you very much for the call, though, Rafe. We appreciate that. Let's go to Michelle in Diamond Bar. Now, this is one we haven't talked about yet, but this I can imagine this would be tough to work with. Hi, Michelle. You're on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Pope is out. I have the most annoying, loudest coworker in the world. She's across. We're separated by bathrooms. I mean, people flush the toilet, and you still hear her cackling across, screaming and yelling, talking really loud, and there's nothing, and she has to be in everybody's business, and while you're talking to her, she's, you're right, yeah, and you can't even put a word in edgewise.
Yeah, she just talks all the time and louder than everybody else and monopolizes the whole conversation.
I mean, it's ear-piercing. It hurts your head. It's so loud. And, you know, I have a job where we're in the field a lot, so they give us cars, and she'll have to complain about what car you have and why do you have this car, why do you work these hours, and go and complain to the boss, and you can hear her telling on everybody.
Michelle, has anyone ever talked to her and said, hey, bring it down about 100 decibels?
Oh, everybody, some of her closest friends tell her, and then she'll say, what are you talking about? I'm loud, you're loud. And then she goes on about how loud everyone else is.
That hurts. All right, thank you very much for the call. We move along now to the Valley in Sherman Oaks. We've got, is this Lita?
Yes, it's Lita.
Hi, Lita.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I don't know if anybody else has this problem, but my boss dyes his hair blonde, and the thing is that his head is enormous, and so he comes in with this like blindingly almost white blonde hair, like once
Lisa?
A month, and Lika. And I can't see anything. I'm actually blinded. I have gone to the eye doctor to have my vision checked, and nobody can see. They can't see their computers. And what do you say? The guy's your boss, but my God, I've never seen hair that color or
are you,
that big before.
Hey, Lika, let me ask you a question. Are you sexually attracted to this guy?
I don't know. I can't see him. I'm blind.
He's blind, exactly. All right, Lika, thank you for the call.
Sorry.
And by the way, the improv classes are paying off if she comes up with Lika. At least I gave her Lita. Yeah. All right, let's do a couple more, and then we'll bring in Sal. Let's go to Valerie. Valerie is in Fullerton. Hi, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Valerie, what's the situation with your boss?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
She's not back yet from the call.
I'm here. Hello. Hope so.
I had this boss when I was working at Blockbuster. I was a manager. She was the head manager. And she would scream at me in front of customers for absolutely nothing.
Really?
in front of the customer. She wouldn't take me in the back, or she wouldn't take me, like, around the side or anything like that. No, she'd just full on and go, what did you do last night? Like, when you were closing, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. You know, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? And why did I even hire you as a manager? You should have just stayed as, like, you know, the little... You know, the people or whatever.
Did you ever try to say, hey, I know I'm screwing up sometimes. Is it possible for you not to yell at me in front of people?
Every day.
No
I
kidding.
Said that.
That hurts. That hurts. All right, Valerie, thank you for the call. I'm sure that one's in the book, too. And finally, we're going to, this is Kelvin listening to us on the internet in Indianapolis.
Yeah, hi, guys. My name's Kelvin.
Hi, Kelvin.
I'm glad you guys are streaming now, finally. That's great. Listen, I work with a guy who keeps his donkey's balls in a jar in a locker.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I work with another guy who sits behind me, and he spends a lot of time looking at my ass, and he does a bunch of weird dances like he's having fun and stuff, but I know he's trying to figure out a way to have sex with me.
Oh, my what? God.
Yeah.
That is sexual harassment.
Who spends most of her time looking at her chops, and she's looking at me, and I'm like, you know, I'm not a piece of meat here.
Oh, wow, that must be
It must be so hard to be you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I quit.
We've been doing this job for quite some time, but every once in a while, we like to listen to a real professional and how he does radio.
That's right. It's true. The great Bob Dylan's got a show. Look, I don't listen to the Bob Dylan show on the satellite, but I am always curious when we speak with Mr. Dylan about what he's got going on his weekly theme broadcast. So if we have Bob on the line, we'd like to say hello to him right now. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. His name is Harry.
Hi.
Hey.
or fine or whatever.
Hey.
Bob,
hey.
Hi.
How old are you, Bob? Because you're getting to the point, if I can be frank, where it's getting more and more difficult to understand what you're saying.
Maybe then, you know.
67 years old. Okay.
Hey.
I thought he said younger than you know.
Younger than you know. Older than you know to me.
Okay. Now, you're doing... You're doing a radio show, and it involves... You're doing a radio show, and it involves themes, which always seems like a bad idea.
Every week, you've got different themes. You've got his songs, and they're together, and they tell the game.
I don't understand what he said. But as far as I understand, he picks a theme, and then he plays music and talks about that particular theme.
Like
one day it was weather.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like with weather, you would play songs. You know, you might play "Riders on the Storm" by The Doors, and then you'd come on. You'd talk about
right there.
So you already did the weather. You did weather already, isn't he? But then I haven't heard the show, Bob. But then you come on and you talk about
the day.
Right.
Next time.
Okay. Well, but my question is, do you have an assistant that can write that down?
Well, I guess. Oh, but you're, damn. And little ink. Oh, damn. Oh, damn.
Your pen's out of ink?
Pen's out of ink.
Oh. But
You're doing
an interview right now. Bob, let that go.
Bob.
You already did the weather show.
Next time I do weather.
Okay.
Right.
But my question was, because I haven't heard the show, then you come out and you go, oh, I was riding through a storm one day. Let me tell you that story. Then you weave like some, that's how you tell it. And then you play another song, tell another story. That's how it works.
Story of the hurricane.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I got you. All right. What's the topic of this week's show, Bob?
Gummy.
Comedy? What is it? Comedy? You're doing a show on comedy, Bob?
Gummy.
Candy?
Candy. He's doing it.
Wait.
Gummy. Oh, coffee.
Gummy.
Oh.
Coffee? Is that what you said?
Coffee.
Oh, coffee. Okay. All right. Well, wait a minute.
Coffee is coffee. It's not a theme. It's something you drink.
It's a theme.
It's a goddamn theme.
It's a theme.
I did it.
How do you do a whole show on coffee?
I did. Listen.
I am waiting at the counter for the man to pour the coffee, and he filled it only halfway, and before I even argue, he is looking out the window at somebody coming in.
Okay, but so you just play that song because it happens to mention coffee in the lyrics?
Yes, and then you drink coffee.
And then you play the exact same
coffee one.
Right.
Yeah, and milk.
Then you tell the story about
and
coffee.
Sugar.
Uh-huh. How much sugar?
And I took a spoon.
Right.
Stirred it.
You stirred the coffee?
Drank it down.
That's a hell of a show right there.
Mmm, coffee.
And then you played that song again and again because there's no other one?
No, it's this one.
Bob, how... How do you know about Henry Rollins?
Because Henry Rollins and I once had a three-way with a Japanese whore.
Now that's a story I wouldn't mind hearing about sometime.
You need to do a sex team.
Being hanging out that too much coffee. Yeah. Angry.
Sounds like it.
Here's a, good, right. Here's a good coffee song.
Is that the great Gordon Lightfoot we're listening to there, Bob?
Yeah, Gordon Lightfoot.
How about that? I love
taking
him.
Taking
care
of the coffee.
But right? The songs are already starting to suck about coffee. Well, how do you fill up a whole...
No.
How do you fill up a whole show?
They're good. Right. I'm another cup of coffee. Give me coffee. Oh, screw it. I'm a cup of tea instead.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
Was the worst job you ever had conducting interviews in the bathroom, Kevin?
Yes.
How's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Sorry, me?
Yeah. What's your name?
Is that really important?
It is if we're going to become friends. What are you doing for Christmas this year?
Want to go spend it with family?
Mind if I come along?
Not enough room for that.
I'm making fudge over here. I can bring that. Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Good.
Don't you just love Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
You make a Yule log or eggnog?
What's that?
You make a Yule log or eggnog? One or two?
Oh, two.
How's that going for you? I'm making something over here looks a lot like a fruitcake. Can you take a second and tell me the story of the baby Jesus?
All the animals and all the wise men.
Yeah. What's up with all that? Have a good one.
Thank you.
Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Fine.
What's your name?
Brian.
Brian, don't you just love Christmas? Know what I mean? My belt buckle is made out of mistletoe.
Why don't you shut the f*** up?
how's it going? Dude, how's it going? What's your name? Dude, what's your name?
Not now, man.
You like Christmas time like I do? Dude, you like Christmas time?
No, no.
You know what I call my penis? You know what my nickname is for my penis?
Excuse me?
You know what my nickname is for my penis? Jolly old Saint Dick.
I don't hear this, man.
Come on, it's jolly old Saint Dick.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Working for K-Rock does have its advantages.
And by that, I think you mean sending Psycho Mike to get very, very bad things done to his butt.
You know, Psycho Mike got married this past Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not yet had a chance to work in, and I'm not exactly sure why.
Work in?
His gift.
Oh, poor choice
of words.
Because
Psycho Mike's gift from Ralph and I was a bleached ass. Now, this first caught our eye when I read someplace that this is the new hot thing for people to go do in Hollywood.
And by the way, I'm going to insert here... Kevin is obsessed with this.
Well, no, I
can't. Ever since you first read about this, every time you hear a story, you cannot stop talking
because
about it.
Because I can't imagine anyone under any circumstances, unless you're a porn star and there's a close-up of your a-hole, I can't imagine anyone would do this.
How? Even then, it's dicey.
I agree.
Even then, it's dicey.
But Lisa's right. You're so obsessed with this. It doesn't matter what the news of the day is. We say, hey, what do you think of the president's Supreme Court nominee? And you go, I wonder if she has a bleached a-hole.
It doesn't even matter
what we're talking about.
Let me point this out. This is the second time that Kevin signed up to go with me to get unrobed and have stuffed under my bung.
This may say more about Kevin than Mike, actually.
I was not happy about that. But anyway, Ralph and I decided that for their wedding, we would give Jenny, Mike's bride, a little ass bleaching. So we went to this place called Pink Cheeks. In Sherman Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
It was in one of the stories that we had read that this is where all the people go to do it.
They rule, by the way.
Yeah, they're great. And we talked to their owner, Cindy. Cindy is here. You are the owner of Pink Cheeks.
That would be me.
And I see that your slogan here is Think Pink.
Yeah.
Now, how many of these have you done in the last, say, week?
Okay.
How many ass a-hole bleachings? How many people are so upset about the color of their a-hole that they had to come get it bleached in the last week?
Oh, gosh, probably 68.
No.
In the last week?
Mostly female, but a hunk of males.
68 people. Mm-hmm. And are most of them in adult movies or no?
No, not at all. Most of them aren't.
68 people did it in a week.
That's just
one location, by the way.
Yes.
This is going on all over town. Hey, before you go on.
And a warning here. We're dealing with a sensitive subject, which is not suitable for young children.
Maybe a little late to play that after what we've already heard, but let's just assume the kids are no longer listening.
68 people in a week.
The other thing that's surprising about that, I would have assumed it was 90% men.
It's not. Oh, really? Because of the whole gay thing, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I would have thought porn stars because they're the only people who have a close up on their a hole.
Right, exactly.
So anyway, then Cindy goes on to tell us about how you put on the bleach.
Well, you put it on every night, and then you should see results in about a week and a half. In about a month and a half, you'll be too white, and so in between that time, you'll see your color tone that you like. And then you do maintenance. You do it like every week and a half or something like that.
I have a black penis. If I use this stuff on my penis, would that make it lighter?
Well, it might fry it off.
Never mind. You can get it too white. There's not a point at which it's too white.
How bad is her job, by the way?
She loves it.
She loves it.
Really?
You could tell she had a like a passion. For
really
the,
personable, for really friendly, having a great time. Bone. She said she has all regular conversations with people. How you doing? How have you been? While she's working on their, you know, drives me nuts. So then she describes what Mike's going to do.
Well, what he's going to do is he's going to drop his drawers and he's going to get on his hands and knees on our table.
That's a troubling step one.
That's a pretty vulnerable position, but I'll take very good care of you. And then we're going to wax him. And we have a refined spun honey beeswax. We have the best you can use, and we use Egyptian cotton muslin, so it'll pull the hair out of his anal area really thoroughly. And then I'll bring the product in, and then we'll slap him on with it.
Sounds like the way you described it makes it sound like it would feel good.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt.
Oh, come on.
You filthy lying bitch.
No, you'll see. You'll see, and then you'll be apologizing.
It doesn't hurt?
No, it doesn't. Well, waxing will be a pull, but we're so good here.
Waxing will be a pull. See, a pull.
I'll be here all night.
Yeah.
Hey,
we're about to discuss an issue that may not be suitable for children. In fact, it probably is not. And I want to give you an opportunity to turn down the volume.
So we begin. All right, so he's got a completely undressed. Now, I'm going to sit up here at that end of the table, if it's all right, because I don't really...
Absolutely, absolutely.
His whole ass area is too dark for me.
Okay, well...
So, I'm going to put a blindfold on to make sure that I don't even get a glimpse of what's down there.
All right, so that's the way we set everything up. Now, Mike has always told us that he couldn't be any hairier from the waist down. Was that your experience? Was it a forest in there?
You'll see.
Okay.
You'll see. And then Cindy tells Mike that he's on all fours, naked, but that's not good enough. On all fours is not good enough. He needs to get down on his elbows.
And you're going to go down on your elbows.
Okay, good, good. That just
there you go.
That will probably expose my anus even more, right?
Well, it makes the skin tighter so we can wax it more thorough.
So it's technically ass up facing a pillow.
How chic.
See, we want to do this really good on him so then we can get you on the table next, Kevin.
Absolutely. I can guarantee that's going to happen.
Yeah, she's looking at me like she wants me to do this thing. I'm going to get mine bleached. No, thank you.
So then she starts talking, she's talking about waxing. I think this is where we get into the waxing. And she says again,
you're going to be surprised how it doesn't hurt. So this is just the first wax. We just applied the warm wax. And here you go. Here's one, two.
Oh! Yeah, she was so telling the truth when she said it wouldn't hurt.
Oh! You're doing great. One, two, good.
Do most people yell when you do that?
The new ones yell, but the ones that are used to it, not at all. We don't even break conversation when we're talking. It's your body gets used to it. Actually, this is pretty addicting. It's pretty amazing, you know, when you...
I'm sorry, did you say the word addicting?
It's pretty addicting to get your body waxed.
Yeah. You know, we always hear that about people who go back for more and more tattoos, is that there's some rush in having that done to your body. I wonder if that's the same kind of thing she's describing.
Mike, is it addicting?
No.
Not yet. All right.
Now we're getting close to his winker. One, two. I had to jump up on that one.
She actually got air underneath her feet on that one, Mike.
She jumped up in the air.
Oh. Up there in the back area, it's like nothing. Oh. But when she goes down by the brown eye, man.
Yeah, it was not so good. He started yelling even more. You should have seen the look on his face. His eyes were bulging out. He was like, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Is winker a medical term? I had not heard that
yes,
before.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, actually,
it is.
Here is the result.
So she comes and she shows us the piece of tape that she
the
pulled
muslin.
Off.
Oh,
you have to.
It looks like shag rug.
It
shag carpet.
Do you want to save that?
No.
It's cool.
It did. It looked like shag carpet. It was so much.
Ew.
It was, yeah, it was really
God.
Disgusting.
She didn't say, do you want to save that?
She did.
She,
yeah. She
did.
Says wonderful anal bleach right on the... right on the sticker there.
It's the label. It goes from dark to light.
Yes, we can bleach there, it says.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put this on you so you get a sensation of what it's like. And then you put it on every single night. Yeah. And it'll absorb inside your butt while your butt cheeks are closed. And then it'll start lightening from the inside out, okay?
Okay. Now level with me here. Okay. You told me the last thing wasn't going to hurt at all.
No.
And it felt like a grenade exploded in my ass.
Well,
now, is this really not going to hurt at all?
It may tingle sting a little bit, but really, you're in good shape.
Here we go. She's got a brush that looks like a wide paint brush.
And she says the inside out, she means the inside out.
So, Kevin,
yes.
Do you want me to give you some anal bleach to take home,
you know,
too?
I'd like you to give it all to Mike, because I think I'm good.
Come on, let's get you on the table.
Yeah, I didn't think I would go for that, really.
That would have been funny.
But he actually did it, and he got it bleached, and he took the bleach home. And I asked him a second ago, are you still putting it on?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Really?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's not wet enough for you yet?
They give you a brush, big long brush, looks like a question mark. It's all curved, you know? So that you can do your own area.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's awesome.
What I think would be funny is
like Picasso.
And what I think would be funny is you get it really, really, really white so it starts glowing in the dark. Then you've got to glow in the dark, a-hole. Yeah, like now you rule.
It's like a powdered donut.
It's like you don't need a nightlight anymore. Jenny wants to go to the bathroom. She's fine. She can get up and see fine. Just you know, because of the light coming off your ass.
It's been a number of years, as Bean speaking, since I've been a newlywed. I can't imagine what you're using that newly white a-hole for, but good luck with that.
Good luck with that. That's right.
Mostly drywall.
The place to get is Pink Cheeks in Sherman Oaks. I'm telling you, they really do a great job.
If you have to get this done.
Or one, two.
This is the spot, believe me. This is the mecca of anal bleaching.
So Mike's going to go back again, and I think that's good.
We know you people are thieves. We know you're out there.
But thank God we have celebrities to tell you what you should and shouldn't do.
So Lisa and I were talking off the air a few minutes ago about how crappy it is that every time you go to the movies, you get more and more and more commercials. You know, it started out, I remember it was, I don't know, what's it probably been, 3 or 4 years now since they started doing this? And I remember the first one, you went, oh, man, please don't tell me. And then, of course, you have visions they're going to start stopping the movies and putting commercials in like they do on TV. Right. But one of the things that's great about the theater is you don't have all the commercials. And then they added another one and another one. And now you can sit there and there's like 7 or 8 minutes, it seems like, of commercials before they even get to the trailers.
Yeah. You know what's funny, too, is when you sit there, I forget which company it is, but one of them presents it as, quote, pre-show entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And then there are the commercials, and then they go into the trailer.
Yeah.
Well, now it's about to get worse, because starting in a couple of weeks or so, you're not only going to see commercials, you're going to see the latest in a new series of public service announcements that Hollywood is putting together and getting out to try to discourage movie piracy, because more and more people, Kevin, are downloading movies from the internet.
I beg your pardon.
And why would that be?
How dare you insinuate that I would do that.
I think he actually just said it. He didn't insinuate.
So Lisa says that her theory, and I think this is a good one, by the way, is there are a lot of people out there. I mean, this is kind of, this isn't the Napster problem where there are billions of files being traded. I mean, most people don't have the high-speed internet that's necessary to make this even worthwhile to download movies.
I really didn't think it was possible for most people.
It isn't, and that's the weird thing.
And the weird thing is that Lisa points out that this is going to turn more people on to movie piracy than ever would have thought of it before, because they're going to walk out of the theater going, dude, I got to get that hookup.
So
the stars are
going to
come out. The movie stars are going to come out and say, please don't download our movies. And then we're going to go download movies.
We can do that?
Hey. I hadn't thought of that. That's a fantastic idea.
This is not going to work.
We actually have some of them. Some of them, 20th Century Fox produced some of the PSAs, and a couple of the other companies produced some of these.
Well, I heard Ben Affleck had one that was going to be starting soon, right?
He did. He had one. We actually have the tape of the one that Keanu Reeves is going to do.
It's
going to run before some of the movies in the theaters. Here's the PSA from Keanu.
Hello, this is Keanu Reeves. When I found out some of you were downloading movies, I was like, whoa, I didn't even know you could do that. That is so cool. But then I was like, whoa, that is actually uncool, because I make my living making movies. Can you believe that? I get paid like sick amounts of money to stand in front of a camera. If I took all the money I've made making movies and converted it into cash, it would like fill a box the size of like one of those boxes that an appliance comes in. But it would have to be a really big appliance,
right?
Like an oddly giant toaster oven or something. But then some guy told me, I forget his name, but he was wearing an excellent tie. He told me that if people download movies, that people who make movies won't make money off of movies. And I was like, whoa, I make movies. It was as if he was talking directly to me. But then I posed the question, what if they download the movie, watch it, and really enjoy it? Mightn't they go to a theater to enjoy the film again, but this time by soaking up a large screen presentation of that very same film? But the excellent Thai guy said that was stupid. And again, when he said that it was stupid, it was as if he was talking directly to me. So in summation, I suppose what I'm saying is, don't download movies. But if you have to, if you're an invalid or something, then send Hollywood a check. Because there's no other way I could make a living, unless I get a job or something. And if I have to get a job, I might be working for you. Do you really want that? I didn't think so. Thank you.
That one may not be the most effective one.
Right.
And this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hello, everybody out there in the dark theater. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Recently, it's come to my attention that some of you people are downloading movies instead of going to the theaters to watch them like good people. That is incredibly not hot. What's wrong with you? Don't you know that billions of Americans make their living by you people sitting through our incredibly hot movies? I mean, forget about we poor actors who need your millions to open our restaurants and buy our ponopolies, our horses. What about the people who work in the movie theaters? You know that guy who made your fresh, incredibly hot popcorn? If you sit on your soft, out-of-shape asses at home and you watch your movies on puny little computer screens, then he'll have nothing to do. And his popcorn will sit there and get stale, and he'll probably kill himself. So don't download, you fat motherfuckers. Go to a movie, or it will be the end of days for movies. That's hot. You don't want to be the Terminator of movies, right? Plus, it's illegal, so the cops would chase you, and you'd be the Running Man. That's hot. I can do this all day.
Yeah.
Don't be Conan the Download Aryan. That's not so good. But if you stop going to movies, I will be the last action hero. Or you could be like a predator of movies. Wow. You won't remember the movies.
By the way, I did want to mention, too, there is an article about the Century Theaters that are commercial free. You can go see movies there without commercials.
It's a bonus. I will go.
They have over 900 screens in 11 states.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
We heard from Keanu Reeves. We heard from Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is Christopher Walken. This is the PSA that's going to run before the movies from him.
Hello. I'm Christopher Walken. What the f*** is wrong with you? How dare you download movies? I'm working my ass off up here on this screen for you motherfuckers. And you're going to steal my movies and watch them on your f***ing computer? You son of a bitch. These films are the product of the sweat and blood of hundreds of trained artists. And you treat them like they're the latest single from Sixpence None the Richer? They asked me to come on here and nicely ask you to stop downloading motion pictures. Well, f*** that. I'm telling you not to do it. Listen to me, you fat, four-eyed computer geek f***s. Save your computer for those lonely nights you sit at home, dateless, alone, stroking your c*** to semi-nude pictures of Christina Aguilera, desperately starved for human contact. But when it comes to movies, climb out of your parents' basements, change your shirt to one that doesn't smell of your vile B.O., and ask your mom to borrow the Grand Cherokee, and drive your worthless ass to a movie theater. Spend some time with the human race, you cyber f***. Interact with live people. You'll still have 22 hours to retreat back into your sterile, pathetic chat rooms and argue about how Buffy's going to end. If you download movies, I will kill you.
Wow.
I'll hunt you down, dismember your body with a dull steak knife, and pack the parts into that box your Dell came in that looks like a cow. Dude, you're getting an agonizing death. Don't think I'll do it? Try me. Now enjoy your movie.
Wow. I guess that would get your attention, wouldn't it?
Boy, that definitely ought to work.
When our producer Lightning goes out, tens of thousands of people follow.
Or just maybe one.
You know how Lightning always comes in Fridays at 10 and gives his little plugs about his gigs? And by the way, I'm going to be at so-and-so
this Friday. I'll be at Craig and Auto Parts, and I've got free oil pans for when it comes down. Get a balloon and a sticker.
Come down and join us. Well, he had one of those gigs, and sometimes those gigs aren't wildly successful. Sometimes only a small group of people show up. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, maybe only two people show up. Can you imagine doing a gig, going out to someplace as Lightning from K-Rock, and you did the radio commercials and everything, and two people show up? That's funny enough.
That would be a story in itself.
He should have sit down with him.
He should have come back and said, hey, guys, I did a gig. There were only two people there. We could have so much fun with that.
Right. Yeah. Oftentimes, they want us out on their slowest night, which even I can't help.
Right.
Yeah.
Even I. The Great Lightning.
So
I'm not supposed to sound like that.
So 2 months ago, he does a gig and there's only two people there. And did he tell us that?
No.
Did he mention it to any one of us that we might be able to bring up on the air?
No. You know what? I went back.
Let me finish. You be quiet. Not only were there two people there. The two people that were there,
Siegfried and Roy,
were Tom Likas and his girlfriend.
That was my audience.
So now Lightning is doing a gig, and he's got to entertain only Tom Likas and his girlfriend. Now,
We have a Tom Likas on this program all the time.
No, I don't get the tie-in.
He never thought to tell us this.
I don't see how we can make a break out of
that,
Kevin.
How could you not tell one of us that?
You know, I came back the next day, and I told some people here, who I don't know, but it was some people, because you guys were on vacation. I figured it out. You guys were on vacation,
but
and I didn't save it over till when you got back. Because
how do you not send out an email saying, guys, remind me to tell you, I had a gig, I had only two people at my gig, and it was Tom Likas and his girlfriend.
And by the way, this past vacation, they took separately. So there
That's
was
right.
somebody
one of us
here
would have been
in
here.
The house.
Good point. There was no way we were all gone.
That's good point, Ralph.
And by the way, when you showed up...
We want to make sure run all those guests off of my week. When you showed up at that gig and saw that it was only Tom Likas and his latest hoe, I don't know how you weren't on your cell phone calling us at home saying, you guys aren't going to believe this. This is the most unbelievable thing that's ever happened to me. You can't believe who's in front of me.
I swear to God, I cannot believe you didn't tell us. That is unbelievable to me.
I told some people.
I was pretty sure I told you. What are you, some people? There's Ralph.
I don't know.
There's Bean. There's me.
Is there a guy named Johnny B that works on this show?
I remember coming in the next day telling some people about it.
You didn't tell us.
Hey, Lightning, how'd you entertain Tom and the missus?
I didn't. That's the whole thing.
First of all, start from the beginning. Okay. What was the event? Where were you? Why?
Cuervo hires me to go out to one of their bars that is a real Cuervo, deep Cuervo server. It was Gotham on 3rd Street Promenade.
Okay. Santa Monica.
In Santa Monica, great place. Okay. And I got there, and there was a huge event going on next door, and so a lot of people were there and didn't really – I don't know if they thought it was open or not, but somehow I walked in, and there weren't very many people there. And then they started to trickle out. Finally, the time comes around. I'm supposed to get on the mic, and I realized, okay, there was no like big K-Rock setup or anything.
There's
it was just
only two
me,
people there.
A couple turntables and a mic.
Turntables and a microphone?
Yeah, that's right. Ones and twos. And I look out, I'm like, oh, there's only two people sitting here. And I look closer, and you do that refocus where you I focus
How
right in on.
How close do you have to look if it's Likas?
No kidding.
You can
spot
him from the Hubble telescope. Yeah.
That's why no one else could get in the bar.
A giant dude with sunglasses on?
His back's to me. I could see the woman. I'm like, okay, there's only two people. This is a little awkward because then I look like a fool.
A little awkward.
Yeah,
you get on the mic and go, hey, how many people are from out of town?
Exactly.
Anybody celebrating anniversary?
I can't do any contests. Can't do anything. You know.
You couldn't eat dog food for a t-shirt contest?
No. Come eat dog food for a t-shirt. They just look at him like, what? There's only two of us.
I figure I'm going to get a beer and I walk around to the bar. And at that point, I realize there's only one guy that I know of that wears all black and sunglasses indoors.
And that's when you got on your cell phone and called Bean and Ralph and myself and said, you guys will not believe this in a million years.
Well,
this is great.
I talked to the manager and I go, I can't do a gig for two people, especially if one's Likas.
Of course you can.
No,
what's wrong with you?
You
got some concert tickets.
Who's got the pump up the jam?
106 and 7 on a dollar bill. Come on. Come on up front.
did you at least have the what you have that works for every audience, which is everybody say hey, everybody say ho. You at least had that in your back pocket.
That.
You could always use that.
Dude, I froze up.
So you told the manager you weren't going to do it and you left?
No, I didn't leave. I stayed there and some more people.
And got paid for not doing anything?
I do what I call my custom service, which is I go to table to table and I just spend a little time with each person.
You just did it.
Tell us about your custom service with Tom Likas sitting at his table.
I went and I said hello and he still had no idea. I was with Ralph one time.
Right.
And we went up and said, hey, this is Ralph. He does you sometimes. And I introduced myself. And he goes, oh, you know what? I haven't heard you guys. And it was the same thing this time where he's like, he had never heard
of us.
Full
of crap, by the way. He mentions on the air that he hears.
And really,
I met the guy four times.
Yeah,
he keeps saying, oh, I don't know who you are. I don't get up that early. I have no idea what you guys
do
in the morning.
So you're sitting there. He's at the table. He says he has no idea who you are. Then you say, everybody say hey. Everybody say ho.
I couldn't do it, dude.
Anybody got a condom in their wallet? Come on up. I'll give you some tickets. They just look at him.
I wasn't liquored up. Maybe things would have been different, but.
Oh, no. We were talking about him. Here we go.
Here he comes.
Tom. Could have done this 2 months ago.
DJ Tweeter.
There you go. How you doing, Tom? Good morning. Tom?
Really?
Yes.
This is. Unbelievable.
This is Lightning. Do you recognize him from the gig in Santa Monica that we were talking about here on the air?
Come on, for God's sakes!
He was at Gotham. You and your girlfriend were there, and he was entertaining you?
Really?
You remember that?
Yeah. You were there. I was there.
Unbelievable!
Can you believe he didn't tell us?
Unbelievable.
What I can't believe you didn't call us and tell us.
Unbelievable.
Tom, what kind of stuff is Lightning telling us the truth? What kind of stuff did he do on the mic that night?
He did Flash Friday.
Flash Friday.
No, that was you.
That's your deal.
That's driving down the 5 freeway, put the lights on. That's your deal.
That's not his.
How was I going to do a gig with him sitting there?
Cracking the ass. Yeah, leave my head print on your ass. Attention whores.
He'll ask for tattoos or something like that. Pink underwear. Who knows what he asked for? And then you got to come up front. Did he do any of that stuff?
Really?
Who's the attention whore, Tom? I'm sorry, I didn't follow that.
Come on, for God's sakes. Attention whores. Fat Friday. Cracking the ass.
What is wrong with you, Tom?
Here's the 800 number you're going to need. 1-800-500. Tom is the number.
Light, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Is this what the conversation was like with him at the table?
A little bit, yeah. Really? Yeah, unfortunately.
Really?
It's weird.
Really? Yeah.
Tom, we just want to know. We just want to know about the gig where Lightning had to. Tom, what's
were
wrong?
Were you there, Lightning?
I was there. I was there, and you were drinking.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
That's okay.
You were drinking it? Oh, man. Did I entertain you?
Unbelievable.
For all of you out there that like the weed, you waken bakers,
this mole's for you.
Hi, everyone. You know who it is? It's Mole. I'm going to teach everybody how to wrap a Christmas present. Okay, first thing you do is pick out your Christmas present. Make sure it's all nice and green like a Christmas tree. And also make sure it's all dank and sticky and it reeks like a dead skunk. All right, next thing, get some wrapping paper. Either 1.0 or 1.25, but nothing any bigger because then all you do is taste paper and that sucks ass chowder, baby. Okay, next, let's wrap this bad boy up. But wait, if it's kind of a big present, maybe you just want to test out a little to see if it works. Hold on a second. Okay, it works, okay? Okay, so now, go grab some of those Christmas cookies as your snack from that place that was giving out free samples. Okay, go ahead and start mowing down those cookies. Hold on. This is good. Check this out. You know that story? That Ghost of Christmas Present story? You know who wrote that story? Check it out. Charles Dickens. You get it? Hey, you know this other cool thing about Santa? If you mix up the letters in his name, you get Nasta. Because that dude smells nasta. He's all covered in reindeer crap and elf sweat. Hey, I'm going to go cruise to Ralph's and get some sodas, man. I am dying of thirst. These freak cookies taste like they're made of chalk. A ripoff. So in conclusion, this 4th of July, leave the fireworks to professionals, because safety is no accident. Wait, what are we doing?
Christmas moment.
Merry Christmas, everybody, and happy Hanukkah, Bean.
I'm just saying I like to torture people. That's my point.
I'm just saying you love nothing more than seeing the confused look on the face of your UPS driver.
Now, I see my wife is on hold. Why?
Hey. That's fantastic.
That's always the best thing.
It's never
the show.
Good news.
It is for us.
Babe?
Hi.
What are you doing up so early? You should be in bed, enjoying yourself, sleeping, resting.
Well, first of all, I'm going to England today, so I'm up because I'm getting the hell out of here and away from you.
She's leaving for a week without me. Very happy to do so, by the way.
I am calling for the reason that we all are always calling. He's going over the edge.
You know, the warmth between you two in this relationship really makes me want to go out and get married.
You know what? I love him. I do. He's He's a wonderful man. He's got my kids saying, come on, get your groove on, Mom, which is a little scary.
Yeah, that's true.
but the last
call you make before you go away for a week of not seeing your husband is, wow, is this guy a doofus? I mean, that's what's happening here,
so
right?
When you say I'm going to England to get away from you, that's meant with love.
She says it with love. Trust me, it would sound a lot different if it wasn't.
All right. Okay, so here's the other day what happened.
What?
I'm sitting at my desk trying to figure out how, once again, anybody could spend $600 on Amazon.com in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And how I'm pulling money out of the kids' college accounts. And I hear him in there yelling, ah! And I'm thinking, money must have sent porn on the internet again. Because that's normally what that means.
By the way, the one you sent yesterday?
How amazing was that?
Oh, God.
Marty, what is wrong with you?
We can't even go into that right now.
Oh, that one we could. Yeah, it was just a big black woman beating on people. Okay.
Normally, when he's in there yelling like that, I usually let it go for a few minutes because that normally is what it means.
Yeah.
But he's going on and on. But you don't understand. I thought, I better go in there. And he's sitting in his chair and he's got this look on his face. And he has this look like, the world does not understand me. And I said, Lammy, honey, what's the matter? And he said, they won't listen. And I said, what? He said, I'm trying to order a new shirt, which is shocking.
Yeah.
And he said, they won't deliver it. And I said, why not? He said, they won't put to the man of all men.
On the package?
On the package.
Addressed to.
Well, here's the thing.
Send to the man of all men.
This is like the Duke of Tarzana, the conversation from a few months ago where Kevin calls and orders stuff on the internet and has them send it to silly names just because he can.
Just
because
it cracks me up. Yeah, the Duke and
Dr.
Kevin Ryder, the professor. Wait. So this guy, I put the man of all men, he calls me. I pick up the phone and goes, yeah, I'm so-and-so from such-and-such a company. You don't talk to people who you order stuff on the internet. That's the beauty of ordering stuff on the internet.
They do, and it's remarkably stupid.
So the guy calls me and he says, sir, I can't send this package to the man of all men. And
you're stunned that he called you at this point, because I'm surprised you even gave him a real phone number.
I know, I never do.
And I was trying to let it sink in a little bit, because I just thought, well... Because I've done this so many different times. They'll put anything you put.
Can I just interject here? How does he come up with the man of all men?
I don't know.
He's just sitting there going, hey, I got a good one.
Just came up. But anyway, before I could realize how stupid I am or what I was doing, I was arguing with the guy because technically, of course he can. Now, am I a jackass for arguing that point? Yes.
No, it's a matter of principle. That's what America's about, sending packages to silly names. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's not.
But before I could really think it through and just say, send it to my real name, I don't care. Which is the truth. I really
didn't. Because the shirt is what's important. You just want to get your shirt.
No, Bean, it's the principle of the thing.
But I was kind of obsessed with this guy who didn't realize that the world's not going to end if he puts the man of all men. He was like, well, how do I know it'll get to you? And I said, it's the right address. I'm the only man here. Send it.
Well, that,
don't let me worry about that.
That was your problem. Your answer should have been, because I am the man of all men.
Did you tell him that technically you're above him? You rule him because you're the man of all men, and he's
and
a
man?
So, I was dumbfounded.
Bean, it makes you feel better. He even referenced to me. Bean told me it doesn't matter what the name is. It's the post office.
That's right.
That's true. Bean told me, and Bean would know.
I swear to God.
I do know the post office rules. That's
Bean would
true.
Know that.
I was just obsessed with the fact that this guy was now taking time out of his day to call and argue with me over putting that on the package.
Unlike you taking the time out of your day to sit there and argue back with him. That's very different.
Well,
that you can easily understand.
It caught me off guard. If I had 5 seconds to really consider it before he called, I would have gone, whatever, dude.
You could have taken this time and not been late to work instead of taking time out of my day to sit there and go over with me why the man. And then didn't you email Bean to get the post office?
We all got emails about it. We all did. Kevin was so incensed, he sent out a press release.
I'm
so furious.
I just couldn't imagine that there was somebody out there who really was being this technical about the mail. It just cracks me up. So I argue with him and argue with him and argue, and then finally I just say, listen, just put it on the package and don't worry about it. It's not your job to worry about what the name is.
Good for you.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
I'm with Kevin
Goodbye.
On this one. I'm with Kevin on this one.
All right. So then I write you guys an email. I can't believe I just spent the last 5 minutes arguing with some idiot over the man of all men. What a stupid idiot this guy was.
This guy.
Yeah.
Not you.
Then my phone rings, and it's this guy again. Sir? Yes. I'm like, really? I'm ready now to pounce with everything I have.
We just talked to another man of all men in Wisconsin. You guys are going to have to work this out.
He's bigger than you are. Your credit card was declined.
I wonder if the man of all men really has a declined credit card. If you're the man of all men, really, wouldn't your credit cards go through all the time?
So now all of a sudden the roles are completely reversed. He's the man of all men, and I'm just a loser. So I say,
you can't be puffing up your chest and telling him what's what now.
Send it to the man of all men.
So I say to him, try it again. And he, of course, who's...
Oh, the famous try it again line when your credit card doesn't work.
Of course. And he, who I've now pissed off, says calmly, I did, sir. It doesn't work. Thank you for your time. And he hangs up.
And then it occurred to me that I pretty much got what I deserved.
You did. That's the best story ever.
My credit card was declined.
So you're not the man of all men now?
No. Not so much.
You are forbidden to ever ask for that name to be put on a package again.
You could have died. Can you imagine sitting at your house in your afternoon and hearing your husband screaming from the office, but I am the man of all men.
I mean, our theory has always been, Mel, that he has way too much time on his hands
way
at home.
Too much.
Yeah. You got to get it. Keep him busy. Just start a garden or something. Put him to work.
I need to spend a tiny amount of that time paying my credit card.
We really do live in too litigious of a society, don't you think, Bean?
How dare you suggest that? I'm going to sue you.
Kevin, you're out of the room, but Mike and I decided that I'm going to join the Operation Santa Letter Adoption Program
with
the post office. I'm going to be the guy who's going to go down to the post office and get letters and write back to little kids.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's who we need dealing with kids' dreams and hopes.
Have they no screening at
No.
all?
Well, that's interesting. You should bring that up, Lisa. Thank you. Operation Santa is a program the U.S. Post Office has been running for more than 80 years, and that's exactly what it is. You volunteer to go and fill out, you know, and write back the little kids who send their letters into the post office of what they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a voluntary program that has, you know, basically there hasn't been much scrutiny on it at all. And now, in 2007, they've decided it's time to lawyer up. Apparently now there's a screening process, and now you got to have a photo ID, and they got to know where you live, and they got to know who you are, and they got to know what you're going to do, because they're worried about, you know, Santa being sued, basically, is what's going on here.
I'm surprised it took this long. I mean, when you stop and think about these kids from all over the world that are writing to Santa, and just random employees...
Yeah.
Take it home and write back. You don't know what they're writing back.
Yeah.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Well, I mean, I think that's part of the problem. But what's going on when Santa needs to worry about being sued? So we asked producer Lightning to get us a phone line into the North Pole. I know it's a very, very busy time of year for the old guy, but we got him on the phone right now. Good morning, Santa Claus.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. Thank you.
It's a thrill to talk to you. I know you're very, very busy. How's it going this year? How's Christmas looking?
It's tough. It's crunch time.
Yeah.
We have more children than ever this year to deliver to, and I'm happy to say most of them have been good, but if I could please make a plea to your listening audience.
Sure.
Stop having so many goddamn kids. Just close your legs for a minute, ladies, because I'm going crazy trying to keep up with the demand.
Now, do you hire more elves every year to keep up with the demand, or is it the same crew? What? What's going on,
please,
Santa?
Please, keep that down.
What?
Why?
I just got slapped with a lawsuit. We have to call them little people now.
Oh, no.
And they're not even elves anymore?
Hey, ixnay on the elves.
I'm sorry.
We're running into some of the same trouble here.
I know. I'll tell you, when those midgets get pissed, forget about it.
So a lawsuit about calling them elves. I mean, I guess the story's true, then, is that even Santa has to be careful with what he says and does these days.
Oh, you have no idea the legal hassles of doing what I do.
Oh,
I never really would have thought of that.
It takes the fun right out of it, almost.
Sure.
I mean, but my insurance alone. Forget about it.
You carry insurance?
Oh, of course I have to.
For what?
Oh, you damaged my roof. Oh, there's reindeer poop on my roof. Oh, right. I'm going to sue you. I need malpractice insurance.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's got to be way expensive.
Ouch. I can't tell you how many times I've come down the chimney and landed on a cat. You killed my cat. Oh, boo-hoo. I'm bringing you presents for nothing, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's a fair trade for your cat.
So, freaking cat.
Put your cat up.
Cats blow.
This is Santa saying this. Wow, I guess it's true.
Oh, that'll get me in more trouble with PETA.
Yeah. Sure.
As you can imagine, PETA's pissed off about the reindeer situation.
Oh, well, why? Because you're giving them work?
No, because I strap them to a sleigh and make them pull me around the world once a year.
But don't they like that?
No!
Oh.
But I don't care. I gotta get around.
Okay.
Once a goddamn year, the reindeer can put up with it.
You don't think
the rest of the time, they live in a plush barn eating alfalfa.
You don't think you're asking for too much?
No, once a year, they can do a little something for Santa. For God's sakes. They're lucky they got a job.
That's true.
They can be in a freaking petting zoo.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
Look, we're on your
side.
Yeah, there you go. And we're on your side. Just so you know, Santa, we're with you, man. We think you're the man. Whatever you got to do, you got to do. Okay?
Once a year, I'm saying.
That's all. Yeah.
Once a year.
We're with you on that.
For Christ's sake. And then, of course, the NAACP is pissed off.
Why?
Somehow it got leaked. I'm thinking of skipping Compton this year. It's just not safe anymore, fellas.
Who's leaking that kind of information?
Probably one of the freaking elves.
He said it.
Pissed off midget. Leaked
little
to
people.
Al Sharpton that I was thinking about passing over Compton.
Yeah.
Well, look, you don't want to fly over Compton with a big red reindeer nose glowing. Just makes you a target, that's all. Next thing you know, they're popping a cap in your ass.
Yeah, nobody wants to see Santa get killed. I understand that, sure.
And the Jews, don't get me started on the Jews.
Well, what's the problem there? You don't even have to go to their houses.
Yeah, you would think Jewish Defense League just slapped me with a lawsuit. They want presents this year.
What are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. And they want me to say, ho, 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 happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas.
But it's Hanukkah. They don't even celebrate Christmas.
I know. They have nobody to come to their house 8 nights in a row, whatever the hell they have.
Come on.
Damn Jews.
What's going on with this world?
Back the F off, Jews. I got Gloria Allred on my ass.
Now what?
Because Mrs. Claus wants to take the ride this year.
She wants to go with you?
She's staying home. She wants her equal rights and wants to fly around the world giving out presents, too. Because she's part of the operation.
And you've never let her do that, I guess.
No, think I can haul her fat ass around in my sleigh all year?
Santa.
Hard enough getting around the world in one night.
Yeah,
imagine how quick I have to travel.
I imagine, yeah.
Have to put her fat ass in there, carry that around. Yeah. God damn it, Anita, stay home, like always.
Wow, it's going to be a long year.
That's what's worse. She wants to be known as Santa Anita.
Come on.
I said that's already taken, for God's sake.
What the hell?
They're going to think you're an effing racetrack.
Wow.
God, bitch, I should have dumped her years ago.
Oh, no.
I could have Heidi Klum.
Oh, you could have.
I could have.
That would have been the way to go.
We're both German, you know.
You'd be happy now.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Instead of fat Anita. Yeah. My life sucks.
Keep listening to K-Rock for details on our upcoming Breakfast with Foo Fighters. In the meantime, let's enjoy a little Dave Grohl and the band. How are you, Dave?
Good. How are you?
Very good.
Now, you're in town. You're going to play the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
We're doing it.
Do you like doing TV shows, or is it... Because are you only going to do one song?
No, we're doing a couple, actually. A
couple songs.
And they can be pretty fun. The scariest... Letterman is the scariest.
Why? Is he
just
intimidating?
Just for no reason at all, no, because you're on the... It's Ed Sullivan Theater, and every time you stand, just to do sound check, man, you're just thinking of the Beatles.
Right.
You're thinking of all the stuff you've seen on Ed Sullivan Show before.
Guys spinning plates and stuff.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
You should learn to spin plates.
Oh, I can, so actually.
I saw my plates. I saw there's a tiny clip of you on the internet that's being passed around.
Really?
And it's obviously only a tiny clip of a bigger piece, which we don't know what it is. It looks like you're kidding, but it's you acting like you're drunk.
On the couch?
I used to be in Nirvana, man.
I was in Nirvana.
Don't tell me how to write.
Go give me some... Marlboro's bitch.
So they cut just that part out. It's going all over the internet now.
It's pretty funny.
Everyone gets just that. They go, oh, man, Dave's losing it.
No, that was a while ago, actually. That's when we were making our last record.
That's funny.
The third record. It was hilarious.
Do you see the stuff that gets passed around the internet on you guys?
No.
You check the fan sites and the websites?
I actually check our website every once in a while. Because
just yours?
Unlike your friend from the Guinness World Book of Records, whatever, I'm the most forgetful person. So sometimes I look at our website to see where we're going next.
What city are we going to be
scary.
In?
Yeah,
that's the life you lead.
Does it all start to mesh together? You've done, you know, with the TRL and the TVs and the concerts and the blah blah.
Kinda after a while. What's tough and weird is coming home and just being, you know, doing your everyday chores.
And what is that? When do you come home and do your everyday chores? When are you done?
Well,
yesterday
I ran out of gas. Like, no, how often does that happen? I ran out of gas.
Where?
And you got to tell your people to get gas. You got to tell your people to do the wash.
No,
tell your
dude.
People to do the dishes.
My onboard computer in my BMW said my range was 6 miles.
And it lied.
Bastards.
It did. Those Germans.
Taking it back.
Where did you run out and how did it happen?
I ran out on Reseda Boulevard around 5 o'clock.
You were not able to coast into a gas station? You had to figure out a way to get
a ride? I couldn't, no. It was doing this weird thing where it kind of would start, and then I put it in the gear, and then it sort of back off.
Right.
God damn it. Do it again. So finally, my fiance is sitting in the car, and I'm like, I'm going to go run over to Exxon. So I run over to Exxon. I walk in, and they say to the guy, excuse, you have a gas can?
Were you drunk then, too?
And some Marlboros. Bitch.
I only drive drunk, man. Come on. Traffic really stresses me out. And so I get in there. He's like, no, remember 7-Eleven. And so I'm like, God damn. So I run to another shell. And give me a gas can or whatever. It's all good.
Are you going to play? Can you play a couple songs for us? I happen to notice that you have a guitar in your hand and it's hooked up.
Well, I always carry a guitar with me.
So it seems like. I'd like you to play Times Like These, and I'd like you to play Everlong.
Oh, wow.
And I'm so tired.
Hey, Mr. Bossy Boots.
Whatever. Not, I know. Who's writing the set list here? Christ. I was in Nirvana.
I'm a one-way motorway. I'm a road that drives away. Follows you back home. I'm a street light shining. I'm a white light blinding bright, burning off and on. It's times like these you learn to live again. It's times like these you give and give again. It's times like these you learn to love again. It's times like these, time again. I'm a new day rising. I'm a brand new sky ahead. The stars upon tonight. I'm a little divided. Do I stay or run away? Leave it all behind. It's times like these you learn to live again. It's times like these give and give again. It's times like these you learn to love again. It's times like these, time again. It's times like these you learn to live again. It's times like these you give and give again. It's times like these you learn to love again. It's times like these, time and time again. It's times like these, you learn to live again. It's times like these, you give and give again. It's times like these, you learn to love again. It's times like these, time and time again. It's times like these you learn to live again. It's times like these give and give again. It's times like these you learn to love again. It's times like these, time again.
Times like these.
That was touching.
Nice applause track.
How about that?
It's like Happy Days.
Taylor.
Hey, are you
that from Anson Williams? Actually,
that's nice.
Are you more comfortable sitting there playing by yourself or with the band? Because you're kind of a.
Sometimes it's more comfortable just playing. See, the problem when you're playing with a big rock band is that it's so loud.
Right.
That I'm deaf, man. I mean, I've been touring a rock band since I was 18.
Right.
I'm 34.
And I don't, I've never worn earplugs.
Wow.
So there are times when it's like, there's just so, halfway through the show, everything just sounds like. And it's like, you can't tell if you're on, if you're on pitching correctly or what the hell, you're deaf.
Well, I'll tell you, and the reason that I wanted you to play Everlong in a second is because your version of Everlong, the slow acoustic version of Everlong.
Yeah.
Has just taken over our freaking station.
What a fluke!
For years and years.
Who knew?
Everybody, yeah. Everybody that's getting married wants it, first of all.
Yeah.
And at least you've done the right thing and put it out on a CD, and I think that's great. That's nice of you to do.
I don't think we did put
no,
it out on a CD.
Didn't, no, you didn't, jackass.
Nice work.
So we get called every 5 minutes. Can you make me a copy? Can you make me a copy? Can you make me a copy?
Dude, that's the nest egg. I'm waiting on that one. Once that one comes out, we're talking.
Everything else goes in the dumper. That's
exactly.
Going to be released.
You'll see me on MTV Cribs. Like, this is my Bentley. This is my other Bentley. This is my other Bentley.
Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters is here. We'll do some more next on K-Rock. Right in the middle of an interview with Dave Grohl. We're just discussing our personal friend Bean.
Yeah. Bean and his pigs.
We were playing a song for a while called Bean F's Sheep. I guess you haven't heard. That was another big hit we were getting a request
Bean
for.
Bean loves sheep. Like thumb in the butt. Sheep and pigs for breakfast. They're not food. They're animals. They're friends.
Okay. You know, we have a lot of bands in, and most of them are just bummed.
Boring.
Bummed they got to get up. Bummed with the press. Bummed with the road. Bummed with the You're just screwing around.
Always.
Just screwing around.
Dude.
We saw you at the, I think it was one of our shows. I don't even remember. It was at the Pond, and the Foo Fighters were on the stage, and Dave ran off stage to, I don't know, change guitars or something, and Bean and I were standing back there doing something else, and he goes, "Hey, guys, how you doing?" He's just standing there looking, and the band's out, still playing, rocking, and the crowd's going crazy. He goes, "Yeah, I got to go back out." He runs back out on the stage. You're just goofing off.
Can't take it too seriously.
How much concentration does it take you?
Concentration?
Any more? None?
What, to play music?
I'm just saying.
Autopilot, dude. Come on. I'm a pro.
Are you thinking about when you get home, you're going to do your laundry, you're going to... Or are you actually...
Well, there's sometimes... No, there are definitely sometimes when... I mean, after you've been on tour for a year...
Yeah.
You don't really have to think about how to learn to fly anymore. It's like it's just happening as you're sitting there doing it. And you're kind of looking around and you're thinking, man, I hope they don't get like local pizza after the show. I hope they get like a nice fat Domino's pie, you know. So there are times when you...
That's what I thought.
Going through wedding plans in your head, deciding...
Totally.
Yeah,
seating
sure.
charts.
God, those invitations are expensive. God, I've got to talk to the planners about...
Yeah. All right, now why I hate you. Everlong came out, and our listeners called, and they said, "Where can we get that?" And we said, "You can't." And then they said, "Well, we're having a wedding." So then they go out and buy all the Foo Fighters, and that version's not on there.
Yeah. See, that's what we want them to do. See?
Then they email us at home, and they say, "I can't find it. I have all
it's on one of the records, I swear."
They get all four.
Clever bastard. Everyone's buying the whole catalog trying to find that song.
See,
I got the golden ticket. I got the golden...
So, would you mind playing that for people?
Yeah,
sure. And just a second before you start, people record this and stop emailing
start
us.
Start tape.
And put it on the internet or something.
Dude, you know label guy, wait a second,
oh,
man.
Sorry.
We got BMG in the house.
Sorry.
This one's for Napster, man.
Strike that. Don't do any of those things.
This one's for that kid from Napster.
Just sit back, sit on your hands, and enjoy.
For you ever long. Tonight I throw myself into and out of the red, out of the head she sang. Down and waste away with me, down with me. Slow how you wanted it to be. Over my head, out of head, she sang. And I wonder, when I sing along with you,
everything could ever feel this real forever, if anything could ever be this good again, the only thing I'll ever ask of you, gotta promise not to stop when I say when. She sang. Breathe out so I can breathe you in, hold you in. And now I know you've always been out of your head, out of my head, I said. And I wonder, when I sing along with you, if everything could ever feel this real forever, if anything could ever be this good again, the only thing I'll ever ask of you, gotta promise not to stop when I say when. She sang. And I wonder, when I sing along with you, if everything could ever feel this real forever, if anything could ever be this good again, only thing I'll ever ask of you, gotta promise not to stop when I say when.
Everlong.
That is nice. Does it feel weird to put out a version of that song that you think is the best version, and then you do an alternative version, and everybody seems to latch onto that?
I don't really care. Like, it's...
Do you care about anything?
Yeah.
Okay, just check.
But not, like...
Not for that.
Not business-related. No, I mean, it's funny because we've never done... the first time we ever did an acoustic version of that, mm-hmm. we did it at the Bridge School benefit for Neil Young. Mm-hmm. And so we had a great set, and it's all, like, hippies and older people, and it's right. a really good vibe. It's a really fun crowd.
Right.
And it's funny. It was funny because, like, we're usually like, wow! And so to do it acoustic was pretty hilarious anyway. And then the last song, we start doing Everlong acoustic, and the other guys walk off stage, and it's just me, and I'm doing it, and I swear you could hear a pin drop, man. And halfway through it, I'm like, whoa, this is heavy, man. What's happening? Like, I've never felt this before. This is weird. And then I start getting all choked up, like, whoa, this is something, this is unreal. And then I look down, and, like, I see people, and they're kind of crying nice. In wow. the crowd. I'm like, oh, my God, this is insane. And then finally, the song ends, and standing ovation. And I'm like, oh, my God, I think I'm going to cry. And I turn over and I look on the side of the stage. There's David Crosby and Neil Young looking at me like, awesome, brother. Wow. That was kick ass. You were, that's really something. And I just went straight back to my dressing room and just went, and I just cried.
Said, I don't need those other guys. Exactly. I'm so good.
Solo deal. Solo deal. I don't have to share with anyone. No, so, but it was, it's, we've only done it a couple times. And then we did it at the Acoustic Christmas once.
Yep. Right. Yep. Very cool. Well, we're excited to have you. And thanks very much for coming in this morning, for saying
that.
And for not cheating us on those high notes on the first song.
Dude, anytime. Next time, Bohemian Rhapsody.
All right. Sweet.
The whole
promise?
Deal.
Do you promise?
No.
Okay, guys. Dave Grohl on K-Rock. From time to time, we like to catch up with one of the greatest college basketball coaches in history, Bobby Knight. You guys know Bobby Knight, the former coach of the Indiana... What are they? What were they?
What's Hoosiers?
It? Hoosiers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He,
wasn't it?
He was the coach for them for years and years. He won championships. He eventually got fired because of his temper. He was throwing chairs onto the floor in the middle of games and stuff. It was spectacular.
He is one of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time. I think he was with him for almost 30 years. Coaches at Texas Tech right now. Still got that famous temper. In fact, I think we've got the clip of him being interviewed recently, and somebody, a reporter, wanted to ask him some questions about the school he used to coach for, Indiana.
I want to ask you about Indiana. Mike Davis, yesterday in a conference call.
I have absolutely no interest in talking about Indiana.
You were there for a long time, Coach, and Mike Davis said that this is a school that needs to have one of their own to take over.
Dare.
Oh, Coach, don't take the earpiece out.
He walked away. He's gone. Yeah, he's got a temper, that's for sure. And he can't be pleased with this new unauthorized biography that is just out in stores right now. It was released earlier this month. Steve Delson and Mark Heisler have written a book that is apparently very good and very comprehensive about the whole life of Coach Knight.
Yeah, there's a lot of great information in here. And we thought we would just run, since it's unauthorized, mm-hmm. it means he was not necessarily helping them. So we thought we'd run the book by Bobby Knight. And we've got him on the phone. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa and whoever the f*** is there in your f***ing studio.
Oh, my God.
Goddamn Los Angeles.
Bobby, listen, we're on the radio, and we're not allowed to use that language.
Yeah, ask me another question. Ask me if I f***ing care about what the f***ing FCC or FDA or whatever the f*** is listening in on the NSA. I don't care who the f*** is listening. Whatever the f*** I want. All right, Coach,
listen, we're trying to be respectful here. We just want to talk to you for a couple of minutes about the new book that's out. It's an unauthorized biography. How do you feel about these guys, Delson and Heisler, writing the book about you?
That's right. You know what an unauthorized biography is?
It's one that you're not
it's a bunch of bullshit. Moron! Right, it's a bunch of goddamn made-up lies.
Right, let me run.
It's like that Fry kid who wrote that f***ing million little bullshit lies or whatever the book was.
Bobby, let me run a couple of the things that are in the book by you, if you don't mind. On page 93, it says, "Wanting to control your player's appearance, you once doused a black player with water and smushed down his afro to make it smaller."
What's wrong with that?
So that did happen.
What's wrong with that?
So that did happen.
Well, of course it happened, you dumb
Well, what's the complaint from you then if items like that in the book are accurate? I mean, it seems like that's what you'd want is a book that's truthful.
Well, I don't care if he writes stuff like that. I mean, if a kid's got a big afro sticking up, where it interferes with the basket,
right?
Then that's just common sense.
All right, how about the time you gave a player a bag saying it was a gift and the player reached in, pulled out a box of tampons, and you said, "You're playing like a pussy."
He was a pussy.
So that happened.
Did you see that game?
No.
He had two rebounds in the whole goddamn game.
How about the time when you, your son, Patrick Knight, was playing, made a bad pass, you made him sit on the bench and you kicked him?
He's lucky I didn't kick him in the balls.
Wow.
So everything in the book is true.
Well, you just happened to pick out the true parts.
Nice. Oh. All right, how about this one? You went shooting in Wisconsin. You went hunting, and you shot a friend in the shoulder.
That's right. I went Dick Cheney on his ass. If it's good enough for the vice president, it's good enough for goddamn Bobby Knight.
Sure,
As far as that goes, anything, you know, if it's good enough for the vice president, then go yourself.
That's a good motto right there, Coach. Hey, it seems like a lot of your friends who have never previously spoken on the record made themselves available to this author. Is that causing any kind of friction in your personal relationships, Coach?
What kind of question is that, you brainless retard?
Bobby,
you don't ask me about my personal life. Who the you anyway,
Bobby? There's an entire book out. This unauthorized biography is all about your life.
That's right. It's unauthorized, mother.
But everything we've asked you about
is. I don't want to be asked some dumbass question by some witless goddamn douchebag about my personal life.
Right, but everything.
So why don't you ask me an intelligent question?
All right.
What kind of journalist are you anyway?
How about this one? In 1984, during the Olympics, when the USA was playing West Germany, apparently at halftime.
1984. Why not ask me about President Garfield in 1750, whatever the it is?
Because
what the hell does something in 1984
let me finish
have to
the,
do with
let
anything?
Let me finish the question. It was the Olympics and the United States team, and Michael Jordan was on the team, and apparently at halftime, his fellow players had to keep him from attacking you. What the hell was going on?
He's one lucky black man. That's all I can say.
So that's true as well.
If his friends held him back, then he's goddamn lucky.
So you don't remember? You don't have any idea?
I don't know what the f*** you're talking about.
All right.
You witless douchebag.
You say that's in the book. It's in the unauthorized biography.
Sucking mother son of a bitch.
Okay. All right. Listen, Coach, we got to go, but I'm glad that we got the chance to catch up with you. And it sounds like the Eggerich management classes are working out for you.
Go see Brokeback Mountain.
Thank you,
Thanks,
Mr.
Coach. The thing that we like about women more than men, women love women. It makes sense, does it? Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Virtually every woman's got a touch of lesbianism.
Virtually every woman.
Virtually every woman.
I wish you were right, my friend.
Don't you think that some, it's a pretty small touch, but still a touch?
No.
Yeah. They've all got some of them in it. Come on.
Let me tell you this, Lisa. The two girls that were kissing yesterday had never kissed a girl before.
Well, good for them, but I know women who would never do it. You could pay them as much money as you wanted. They wouldn't do it.
Yeah. They're just embarrassed to admit it, but
no,
they would
they're
do
not.
It.
They're
just embarrassed to admit it.
Grossed
That's
out.
All. They're grossed out.
Yes.
They by would, kissing a girl?
They yes.
feel like kissing a girl the way you would feel by kissing a guy.
How can they be grossed out by a girl?
Like you kissing your sister.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. That's how they feel about
well,
it.
Well, first of all, kissing
My
a guy.
My sister's pretty hot. But second of all,
kissing a guy is super gross. Kissing a girl, all right.
Well, yeah, because you're
From
a guy.
Your point of view.
All right. Let's try and identify. Is it 80% of women kind of have just a little
80%?
I'm just trying to put a number on it.
That's
a little
a lot.
Tiny touch.
But don't we hear a lot of stories, Ralph, and you're the professor of sex use, so I defer to your knowledge in this topic, but we hear a lot of stories, and granted, it may just be anecdotal evidence, of girls who have had an experience or fooled around with
yes,
the concept
sure.
a little bit. You don't hear that from guys. You rarely hear guys say, yeah, in college I went through a gay phase, but you hear a lot of girls say, I got really drunk and made out with my sorority sister.
First of all, guys can't say it out loud.
Right,
they
won't
did.
Admit it.
No, but they don't.
Well,
it's not
that,
like,
you don't know
you
that.
You don't know that, man.
Yeah, you do.
No, you don't. Yeah.
Look, if you read any of these sex surveys, when they talk about same-sex experiences stuff, a lot of guys chuck the yes box.
In trying it?
Yeah.
Well, that's wrong.
They just haven't had enough to drink.
And we hear about it. You know, people tell the stories and stuff, and it's fascinating. But I think the people we're hearing the stories from are just more open about it.
Right.
I think a lot of women wouldn't do that.
Last week, Ralph, you told us in your showbiz news about an interview with Jerry Halliwell, the former Ginger Spice, who admitted to, for instance, a one-time lesbian affair. Not that she considers herself gay or bi, but it's something
right.
that she tried under the right circumstances. And I think
exactly.
that's a pretty typical story.
Would you feel that way if a guy said that to you?
No, because yeah, guys are gross.
Millie and Montebello, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think?
I totally believe that some, like, most girls have, like, lesbian traits in them.
Now, Ralph, my guess was 80-85%. Ralph says that's crazy. What percentage would you put of women that have a little lesbianism in them?
I agree with Ralph. I would say about 80-85%.
That's what Kevin
So you agree with Kevin?
Said, okay, all right, good.
That's nuts, that number.
What?
I think it's more than half, but I don't think it's 80%.
No,
but
I don't
you think
either.
It's more than half? Though?
I think it's more than half, yeah.
I think most of them are just afraid to admit it.
I think you're right, Millie.
You sound like being.
Thanks for the call. We're splitting.
Don't want to, so I'm just afraid.
There's not much of a disagreement here, though, because if Ralph's guessing, I don't know, 60% and Kevin's saying 80%, we're pretty close that it's a high percentage of girls, though. As well, it should be.
Not high enough. Rhonda in Chatsworth, good morning.
Hi.
Hi there.
I think totally that almost every guy has had a sexual relationship with another guy, maybe when they were 12 or 13.
No way.
No, 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 no
way.
No, not even.
You'd like to think that, wouldn't you, you little minx?
No. Rhonda.
No. Yeah.
Listen, all I can speak is from my own experience.
And that guy you slept with?
And my boyfriend.
Edward Ramone.
Really, almost all the guys I know, it's just you don't experiment if you're not gay. You just don't. You don't
I
ever.
I don't think that they tell you. My daughter's girlfriend is dating a guy recently, and he came to her and said, look, now they're in high school.
Right.
And he's like, I have gay tendencies. So the quarterback and I were fooling around.
Fine.
Now, the quarterback would never, ever admit it.
No, but that's fine. But the quarterback is bi or gay and just doesn't want to admit it. But that doesn't mean most guys would. Guys who are heterosexual would not experiment ever.
I don't believe that either. I know a couple of guys who have told me that when they were, like, 12
in
or 13.
Jail.
No, that women wouldn't pay attention to them, so they would experiment with another guy. They were not at all gay.
No.
It was just, you close your eyes, it all feels the same.
No, you can't close your eyes and it all feels the same. There's hair.
Where are you going? About here?
All right, thank you for the call, Rhonda. You know, I have heard the same sort of thing that Lisa's talking about with the adolescent boys with 12, 13, you know, playing with each other and stuff like that and growing out of it. I never, ever experienced that or knew anyone who did that I was aware of.
Well, anyway. You know, guys will admit that to women where they won't admit it to
but
each other.
It's a it's a much smaller percentage of guys.
I think so.
Than it is of women who are not.
Even if men had those curiosities or whatever to act on them, I think the number is a lot less in terms of guys than women.
Don't you understand? She's a lesbian.
That's what we're saying. Carla in Norwalk, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
See what I mean? That's exactly my point.
Right there.
You just said good morning.
Yeah,
that's all.
But did you hear how she said it?
Oh, Jesus.
Dude, the music was louder than the words on that one. Come on.
We're just
go ahead, lovely Carla. Carla, go ahead.
Okay, I agree with both of you guys. Every girl has thought about it. No matter what they say, whether they're in denial, they've thought about it. And a good majority of them actually act on it. But like what Lisa said, that I know some women that will never do it. Those are the ones that are in denial. You get them a couple of cocktails and you'll see a whole different story.
I disagree with you.
Well, there are,
how can it be in your mind that there's not one single woman that
are,
it doesn't appeal to? That's ridiculous.
There are some women. Can we
not
talk
that
about
it? It doesn't appeal to them, but they've all thought about it. Like in my senior year, everybody came out of the closet, whether they were gay, bi, experimenting. You know, it's not necessarily in college. A lot of times it happens now in high school.
You had a hell of a senior year.
Maybe you just run with a group of Fruit Loops.
All right, Carla, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. See, I'm not sure everybody agrees with that. I think there is, you know, maybe 1%.
That's big of you, Kevin.
I'm raising it. All right.
The thing is, the girls who have no interest are probably going to call up and talk about it and brag about it. No, but the girls who are interested and like to kiss other girls, they love to talk
about it. Let's talk to Donna, who is not interested.
Good.
In
let's hear from someone.
Called up to talk about it. Donna.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
I totally agree with Lisa because I'm that 1% that you guys are talking about.
There's not just a little bit.
No, you know what? My opinion is that any girl who's willing to get involved with another girl, I think she's confused because she might have had a bad experience with a guy, so she wants to try it out with a girl and see how it feels with a girl.
Let me ask you a question before we move on. Are you religious?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I knew it.
But it doesn't make a difference.
Well, it does make a difference because if you're religious, then your religious beliefs tell you that it's right for a woman to be with a man.
No, I disagree.
That's not what your religion tells you?
She's saying that's not the reason
she
does it.
That doesn't mean I go with it 100%.
Yeah, I got some priests you should talk to, too, Kevin.
Yeah, no kidding.
When it comes to religion.
I'm saying, does your religion say to you, you should be with a man?
It does, but that doesn't make a difference, like I said.
Okay.
So you're just saying people pick and choose what they want to take out of their religion, that's for sure.
Apart from your religion, then, you're saying you're one of the 0.5%.
1%. 1%. I'm the 1% that you guys are talking about.
All right, let me ask you this, Donna. Do you find, are there other women that you can think of that you find really, really attractive? Like you can look at them like a Pam Anderson or whoever it is for you and go, man, is she sexy?
There's a lot of women and guys are afraid to even admit that there's a lot of guys that are very good looking. And yes, us women, we have no problem by saying that woman is very, very pretty,
right.
Very sexy, or very attractive. That doesn't
Who for you is very, very sexy? Like you just think she is the ultimate in femininity. I mean, whoever it is, Salma Hayek, whoever you
Anderson,
like.
I don't find her sexy at all.
You don't? Okay.
Okay. Well, who do you?
That wasn't
who do you like?
Salma
Hayek?
Wasn't the question.
Jennifer Lopez?
Jennifer Lopez, yeah. I think she's sexy in her own way. She's
but
not
no,
exploding her body like some of the girls.
All right, I'm getting a real icy vibe off this line. It's getting cold.
You're angry.
It is.
All right, so you have. So you, if you had the opportunity to tap that ass on Jennifer Lopez, no, you wouldn't do it, though.
Yeah,
no.
She wouldn't even kiss her, and yet she's going to tap that ass.
I'm just saying.
All right, do you want to talk to one other woman that says she would not kiss?
Okay.
All right. Joanne in Long Beach. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Liar!
That's what you'd think. That's what you would think.
You're part of the 1/100th of a percent?
Oh,
yes,
stop.
I am.
Just have no interest in kissing whatsoever.
No, not at all.
Girls are so hot, though, and they're so much better than guys.
What are you missing?
Yeah, I've thought about it, but it's just, I look at girls and I'm like, it just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
But they have boobies.
I know, but I have some really good set of boobies.
I think she's familiar with what a woman is being.
Pete, I think they get that part.
I think she
part.
Can pick one out of a lineup.
Okay. I misunderstand it.
Okay, all of these people are guys. One is a girl. Who is it?
Which one? One with the boobies?
All right, thank you, Joanne. Your phone is cutting out, but thanks for calling me.
You know, because I can look at guys. Like, I used to look at George Clooney and say, wow, he's a great-looking guy.
Sure, of course.
He's obviously a sexy guy, but it doesn't mean I want to kiss him.
Of course.
Right.
Of
right.
course. But girls.
Why can't girls do that?
Listen, it's about 99 and 99 100%. That's all we're saying.
Look, we recognize that we're not suited for this job, so from time to time, we try to do something else.
Say goodbye to morning radio, people, because we are moving on.
What are we
Dude,
doing?
How can we not? Well, Lisa, I don't know that this is a job for you as much as it is for us
hey,
on the show.
Hey, anything you can do, I can do.
Okay, then.
And probably better.
Okay, then.
All right.
Come with us. Washington Post had an article this week about the ritual sex cleansers in not only in Kenya, by the way, but in other countries in Africa. Let me see. I guess Uganda, Tanzania, Congo, other villages across West Africa. What this guy's job is, and they got one in every village, is he has sex with the widow so that the widow is allowed to attend her husband's funeral. That's
okay,
part
I'm
one.
Out.
Okay.
I'm out.
Okay. Part two is if you're an unmarried woman, you're a single gal, and your mom or dad dies or you lose a child, then you also must sleep with the ritual sex cleanser.
I'll tell you why. Widows and unmarried women in rural villages inevitably attract evil spirits. This is what they believe.
Really?
They attract evil spirits. And if those spirits are not scrubbed out, crops won't grow, cattle won't grow. It just, it's bad news for everybody. So to get the evil spirits out of the single women, they have to have sex with the cleanser.
God, that was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
No kidding.
Now, they believe that.
Yeah,
I believe it. What do you mean they believe it?
I
believe
it.
They do believe that.
They've got everybody else believing
that.
Well,
I don't know.
It's a huge scam.
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if the cleanser, if the guys no or not, but they're very ritualistic about spirits and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. I mean, they really are. They don't they don't play around. Spirits are a really serious thing.
Yes, now. And crops are very serious.
Yes,
it must be done.
Let's call Kenya.
All right, let's call Kenya.
All right, here we go. We
those are words you don't hear often enough in life. Let's call Kenya.
Do you think A, they speak English, and B, they recognize the word cleanser as being that guy?
A no, B no.
A no, B no. Yes, exactly.
So how do we explain the cleanser?
I don't know. Producer Lightning called ahead. Do we find anyone who does?
Well, I think they habla. They speak Spanish. Bean.
Nice, Bean.
I think that they speak broken English.
Okay. Okay, well, so do we. So that's perfect.
I don't know that
cleansers. What's the waiting list like for this job?
No kidding.
And when you're a little kid and you realize what's going on, do you say, well, that's what I'm going to start working on that goal.
Next up, Bill. And Bill goes, woohoo! Oh, here we go.
Can I help you? Hello?
Hi, you speak English, sir?
Yes.
Perfect.
We are calling to talk about the ritual sex cleansers in Kenya.
Yeah, just a moment, yeah?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Just a moment, yeah?
Okay, thank you.
I think he went to get one.
Yeah, just a minute.
Well, there's not one on staff at the hotel.
How do you know?
Hello, Kevin and Bean. It is good to hear from you.
Now we're in India.
The guy's going to know us.
It's the only accent I got.
And they're going to know us? Randomly calling someplace.
I have sex with these single women.
Nairobi. Hello. We'd like to be a cleanser dude. Come to the phone. Cleanser dude's on hold.
I am putting you on hold. I will come back.
Stop with the Indian
Hello.
Accent. Yes, hi.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Do you know about the sex cleanser? The man who has sex with the widow so she can attend the funeral. Are you familiar with the concept?
Hello?
I knew he
yes,
was
hello. We got that. Can you hear us?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Why do the Kenyan runners run so goddamn fast?
No, that's
that's not our wrong call. I'm sorry.
It's not our question.
All right, you ask it.
Sir, we would like to be considered for the job of sex cleanser. Do you know what we're saying?
Hello?
Really? How many times can he go back to hello?
Go back to the running question.
Yeah.
This is why Kenya is not a winner, right here.
Hello?
Yes!
Hello.
Okay. Hello.
All right.
Hello.
All right, let me try something else. Do you speak English?
Yes, sir.
Okay. No, you don't! You're a liar! What is your name?
My name is Muta.
Muta. All right, Muta. Do you know about the sex cleanser?
No.
Is there a man who women can go to have sex to be cleansed? To drive out evil spirits?
As a game or as a funny?
No, as for real.
For real?
Yeah.
And you know, these days there is a lot of diseases.
Is there a man that can drive evil spirits out of women by having sex with them?
No, no.
You haven't heard of that?
Huh.
You're missing a job opportunity, my friend.
Yeah, you should quit the hotel. Maybe, you know, maybe in the big city, Nairobi, you know, a little more advanced, a little
women
more
got
into
a
the 20s.
Savvy.
21st century, maybe they don't do it there. But you'd think that he would have not only heard about it, but moved to one of those villages where they do still do it.
I'm kidding.
Hello?
Oh, my
God.
Hello?
Okay, sir, do you believe in evil spirits?
Yes.
You do believe in evil spirits?
Okay. How do you get rid of the evil spirits? How do you make them go away?
You drive them away by the name of Jesus.
By the name of Jesus.
Okay. All right. So, Jesus Christ, like that, right?
Is there a part of town where they can drive away evil spirits by having sex with a woman?
No.
We're not moving to Kenya.
We're out.
Okay, well, then we're out. We don't have anything to say to you.
Where are you calling from?
America, the best country on earth.
Which part of America?
We're calling from Los Angeles, California.
Where did you get my name?
Out of a phone book, Muta.
Yeah?
Yes, phone book.
From my?
Phone book.
Right.
Hello?
Hello?
All right.
All right, we got to go.
Muta, we have to go. Thank you for your time.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
That's a shame this guy is dead. Boy, was he funny.
Happy holidays, folks. This is Bob Christmas Hope live at the shopping mall, you know. I'm wearing a Christmas suit. Gonna ask a bunch of kids what the hell they want for Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, what the hell's your name?
Torten.
How old are you?
Four?
Holy crap. I got pieces of turd older than you. All right, what the hell do you want for Christmas, huh?
Let me see.
Blue cheese. That's something else. Yeah.
Dinosaurs.
A dinosaur? How about Dick Clark, huh? Yeah, there's your T-Rex. Breaker 19, this is Bob, kid. Come in, tell me how old you are, you know.
What?
Hey, what's your name, kid?
Nelly.
What the hell do you want for Christmas? What time is it? Holy shit, what an outfit that is, huh? I ain't seen snot like that since General Eisenhower checked into the 777, you know?
You know what I want for Christmas?
No, I don't want to talk to that one. He's ugly. Can you hear me through the beard, kid? That's what Rob Halford said to me the other day. Judas Priest, everybody. Is that something?
Yeah.
What's your name, kid?
Denlin.
Hey, Hi, this is Bob.
No.
How about that Buddy Ebsen? Ow, don't poke me there.
Yeah.
Dolores, you kid with the drool on your head, what the hell you want for Christmas, huh? Is this thing working? Yeah, the mom with the ass. Come on over here, I got a question for you, kid. Hey, what's your name, kid?
Joshua.
Yeah, scoot over, kid, you're squishing one of my nuts, you know? How about that prostate, is that something else? Yeah, it hurts. Now, tomorrow I'm going to the proctologist, you know? Yeah, he says he saw a top flight Z2 stuck up my ass. Hi, my name is Bob, what's your name?
Ivan.
What do you want for Hanukkah, kid?
Lego Rumble.
What's that?
Lego Rumble.
No, you're not going to get that, sorry.
Blue and pink.
No, Santa doesn't like you. When I say, what's that? What's that? Merry, what's that to you? What? What's that? Hi, and welcome to the deck of the USS Nimitz. I'm Bob Hope. What the hell's your name?
Alec.
What do you want for Christmas, huh?
A real car.
What the hell kind of car do you want, kid?
Cadillac.
Yeah, there's still ghetto in this mall, huh? What's your name, kid?
Garrett.
All right, I'm Santa Claus. What the hell do you want for Christmas?
Tow truck.
Yeah, tow truck, huh? Yeah, that's what they use on the Starsky and Hutch show to get David Soul out of the cocaine. Yeah, all I want for Christmas is a lawsuit, you know?
You're crazy.
Hey, kid, hop up on my lap and tell Bob Claus what you want for Christmas.
Baseball and basketball and soccer. Paul.
Yeah, this kid's diaper's wet. Dang it. Merry Christmas, everybody, from Bob Hope. And remember,
be sure to ride with the Star of Bethlehem on the Texaco Road. Mall security, come over here, mall security. I got a corn dog in my face.
One of us knows how to drive, and one of us is Bean.
I need some help, you guys, because a very bad thing happened, and I need to figure out a way to get out of it.
You went to the hospital and said, oh, I fell on the plunger. That's how it got in my ass. Is that what happened?
You guys know my manslave, Marty, whom you've heard me speak of in glowing terms.
Your friend for pay.
Years. Yes, my friend for pay.
Yes.
This is the guy. He's a contractor, and he does a lot of work for me on the house. He's the guy who, you know, helps me build my barn, and he'll, you know, he just does. He's an odd job guy. Whatever you need, you got a leaky faucet, he's the guy who comes in. Yeah. You know, your wife needs servicing, you call Marty. I mean, this guy, he'll do it all for you, right? So for like 5 years, he and I have been really good friends. They joke that he's a friend for pay because, you know, we
play tennis. Pay him.
But when we play tennis and stuff, yeah, which is not a paid
endeavor. Why do you think
endeavor.
He plays with you? Because you pay him. You continue to give him work, so he has to be nice to you.
But
don't act
way.
Like he's your friend.
How much money would you pay for a videotape of Bean playing tennis?
Yeah, that would be pretty great.
He is a friend.
Uh-huh.
We go to ball games together.
Sure.
We've done lots of stuff together.
Uh-huh.
All right, so Marty's on vacation, okay?
All right.
So for reasons I won't get into, he asks if he can leave his truck at my house. He's got a brand new, I mean, less than 2 weeks old Ford F-150 truck. Okay, just a beautiful, beautiful ride, right? So he has
raised.
I don't think he has raised the lighting. I'm sorry. So he asks if he can leave it at my house, and I say, sure, no problem. And Marty, being the considerate guy that he is, he drops it off on the street in front of my house because he's going to the airport the butt crack of dawn, and he doesn't want to wake anybody up by pulling into the driveway. That's how kind and considerate he is, right? Uh-huh. So he leaves the keys for me under the gas cap, and he calls me when he gets to Hawaii, and he says, hey, dude, I left my car at your house. Would you mind pulling it into the driveway? So it doesn't stay out on the street for the whole time that he's gone, right?
Right.
So I pull Marty's truck, which I've never driven before, into the driveway. And as I'm going around the corner of the driveway, it's an oval-shaped driveway. As I'm going around the corner of the driveway, I guess as a guy who's used to driving a Mini Cooper, I guess maybe I misjudge how big this truck is.
No.
And I just demolish one whole side of his 13-day-old truck on shrubs and rocks and everything else that's, you know, that's around the driveway, right? Just scrape all the way up against it. I mean, it just looks like somebody with fingernails wiped it out on the side.
Why are you an ass?
I couldn't feel any worse than I do.
Now, did it dent or it's just the paint?
I think it's just the paint. I don't think there's any damage. I think it's just the paint. It's just scraped out, basically, is what happened. And it's, you know, it's mostly, you know, there's some rock, but mostly it's branches from bushes and trees that just – and by the way, imagine my surprise that paint comes off that easy on a, you know, brand new paint job.
Yeah. Well, when you're scraping it against foliage, you'd be surprised what can happen.
So Marty's still in Hawaii.
Oh.
I've got his truck. What is the call here?
Well, didn't you immediately take it to a place that paints trucks?
Oh, I'm going to get in that truck and drive it? Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, Lisa. I couldn't pull it into the driveway without hitting something.
Now,
I'm not taking that out onto the road.
Find a man who knows how to drive and have him take it to the dealership and have them fix it per specs of the factory.
You don't tell Marty, though, right?
No.
No.
Really?
No. Yeah. No, you get it fixed immediately, and you have it done perfectly, and you don't ever speak word of it again.
Because he's still on vacation in Hawaii right now.
For how long?
He comes back on Saturday. He doesn't know what's going on with his truck. And the first thing I thought is, oh, my God, I have to call and tell him what happened. And then I thought, well, I'm not going to call and tell him what happened and ruin his vacation because that's all he's going to think about now is that some a-hole jacked up his truck while he's gone.
The cat got up on the roof, Marty.
But I'm not going to get in the car. I'm not going to get in the truck and drive it someplace. I'm not going to do that.
Why?
But you know, I mean, once you're sort of aware of how wide it is, you'll be able to
Maybe
drive
not.
It.
Bean's a tard. He's the guy who scraped his entire body along a stone wall on a moped. For
and
God
that's his
sakes.
Own body.
He couldn't seem to figure that out. That I shouldn't be scraping it anymore on my shoulder against cement.
Okay, have hey, Donna drive it.
I was trying to stay on top of that
moped.
Moped, by the way. Yeah, I was trying to not fall off the thing. That's the only reason I ended up on the wall.
Seriously, I bet Donna could drive it.
But don't I have some sort of an obligation to tell the guy that I've damaged
when
his truck
in
2 weeks?
When he gets home, you can tell him.
No, first, no.
No, you don't
you
think,
never, you
I
get
don't
it
know.
Fixed right and you never tell him. Especially since it's not even like body damage. It's not even structural damage. Anything that's going to affect the ride of the truck at all. It's just cosmetic. So you just have it repainted.
I can't believe this, but according to Psycho Mike, the K-Rock microphones were there as I pulled Marty's truck into the driveway, and I think we have that tape.
I want to thank Bean's wife for sending us that tape. Luckily, she was running a tape recorder.
I'm surprised there was no body damage.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Let's go to Chris, who's calling in Pasadena. He's got some advice. I need to know how to salvage the friendship, how to get the truck fixed before he comes back. What's the process? What do I do? Chris, what do you think?
I think you should just fix his car and then tell him when he gets back, because it would be way worse off if you were to not tell him and then someone else, some other rogue listener, told him that you messed up his car.
Mm-hmm.
See, Ralph says don't tell him. Ralph says take it to the grave.
Yeah, don't tell him. He doesn't need to know. As long as it's fixed, it's fixed.
What's he
need to know?
Then
you have him killed.
Okay.
Bean pays him to be his friend. No matter what Bean does, the guy's going to be fine with it because it's his only means of support.
Good point.
Some window licker Bean gives a couple bucks to shovel manure in the farm or whatever. Come on.
Ralph, are there any things that you
heard my truck? I better still keep working for you.
Are there any things that you should tell a close friend? I mean, if you don't tell him when you trash his car, if I tapped his wife by accident one night, is that the type of thing that I shouldn't tell him?
Yeah, tell him his wife's a whore, but don't tell him that you tapped her.
Let's go to Jaime down there in Camarillo, or Jamie. I can't tell.
Or Camarillo.
Camarillo.
You're on K-Rock. Good morning.
Morning, it's Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
What do you think?
I was just, you know, whether or not you tell them, that's up to you, but don't let one of these guys come to your driveway and try and fix it.
Yeah, don't go low rent on it, Bean.
No, really? Especially on a new truck.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, for folks who are just joining us, the truck is 2 weeks old, too. I got to tell you, I'm not going to get behind the wheel and take the potential of wrecking it somewhere out there on the highway.
You're on the way to get it fixed.
So
what's the worst that could happen? You get it hurt, you
AAA.
Damage some more, and you get it to the Ford place, and they fix it.
Yeah, I do have AAA.
Have them come tow it to a shop, but find out what shop is certified to work on it. Call your insurance company, find out who they recommend. Because there's nothing in it for the insurance company on who they refer to. They're only going to refer to you to a certified shop.
Okay.
My husband and I own a body shop, and if there's just paintwork involved, you're talking 3 days if there's no body damage.
Okay.
Body damage, you're looking at additional time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
you're
the call.
Welcome.
Let's go to...
She's angry at you. Speaking as a paint professional, she hates you.
Let's do a couple more real quick. Let's go to Jesse, who's in L.A.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Lisa, good.
May, hola.
Hi, Jesse. Hola.
I go through this all the time because I go off-roading and I have an RV and a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely get a detailer and go and buff it out if there's no damage on the body.
Get a detailer, meaning go to someone. Don't bring him to the house.
You got mobile detailers that will go to your house, and they'll buff it out.
But if the scratch is to the metal, he was not going to be able to just buff it out.
Well, there's touch-ups. I've done miracles.
It's
a brand new truck. It's not your freaking RV.
I've got a $120,000 RV with a body paint, and I've got it. Touched up.
Yeah, but it was yours. You didn't care that much, but he wrecked someone else's.
This has to be restored to new.
Yeah.
It does. It has to be like new because it was like new, and it's Marty's baby, too. Thank you for the call, Jessica. I appreciate it. Here's an email from C. Molina. Bean, I'm not sure if anyone told you, but you guys are streaming live on the freaking internet now. Someone is going to tell Marty you should get it fixed and tell him. Heed the warning, says C.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Let's close with Dan down there in Highland Park. I think he's got advice that nobody else has offered. Hi, Dan. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Dan.
And you know what? That truck will never be the same. You get it fixed, painted, whatever, it'll fade. So the only way you can salvage the truck and friendship is to go ahead and buy a brand new truck to replace it.
Yeah, buy a new truck.
And then you own a brand new truck with a bunch of scrapes on it.
See? Buy him a new one, Bean. You keep that one.
Yeah, you said it was a great ride.
I don't think I can afford to take any more calls.
Guys, you have no idea how cheap Bean is. He would rather see Marty die in the truck than ever buy him a new one. That's absolutely right. Do you know where Marty's staying in Hawaii, by the way?
I don't.
You don't have his hotel number?
I don't. I really don't. I haven't talked to him.
Oh, we should call him on the air.
Believe me, yeah. I thought about it. And if I had talked to, if I had talked to him this week, I would be terrified that I would somehow let it slip. I would somehow say something about it. You know what
I
mean?
Hey, Marty, how are you? Goodbye, I heard your car.
That's what I'm afraid of. All right, thanks for the calls. Thanks for the advice. I'll let you know what happens. Hey, one more time. I understand the K-Rock microphones were here. Let's hear that to get us out.